You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World, right here on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Swoop's World, where you get all you need to know about arts, culture, news, and happiness. Our number, if you want to give us a call tonight, is 562-912-3444. You can always email us at swoopsworld@gmail.com, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter. Once again, if you want to give us a call, that number is 562-912-3444. Now just sit back and enjoy another edition of Swoop's World on the new Talk Story Radio Network. Welcome to another edition of Swoop's World Late Night, and our guest today is going to be Tom O'Keefe. How's it going, Tom?
Pretty darn good. Actually, better than expected at my age.
Yeah, excellent, excellent, excellent. Peter, how's it going, man?
It's going all right.
It is September 11, 2013, and we always remember this day every time we have a show around this time, and of course, everybody remembers where they were on September 11, 2001, and I think we've talked about that a few times. You were on the East Coast then, weren't you?
Yeah, I was about 25 miles away from where it happened.
Yeah.
Could literally see the columns of smoke.
Wow.
And then for days later, saw it all just floating by. So I worked at this particular house, and they had like a three-story building. From there, I could actually see the whole island, and it was not a pretty sight.
Wow. Yeah, it's one of those things, you know, like people talk about different events in their lives in the world that you'll never forget, and you always remember where you were. Tom, you haven't been on since we've done a September 11th show. Where were you on that day?
I was actually at the gym, and I looked up at the TV monitor, and I saw smoke, and I go, this must be a joke. I didn't think it was real. Couldn't have been real.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have that thing. I think I told Peter my experience. I was in Tucson. I was visiting some friends, and they didn't really have a TV set. They had a TV set that they pulled out when they needed to see something.
Right.
So we were telling who was my father-in-law at the time, says, "Hey, we got to get the TV out because my son had called and said there's there's been an attack on the World Trade Center." And he wasn't getting the TV because he says it's nothing on NPR, so I don't think it's real. So finally, after a couple minutes of going back and forth, I just went and grabbed it, pulled it out, plugged it in, and about the time we got it up and we were showing it, and he still didn't believe it, and then NPR caught up.
Yeah.
And then he came in and goes, I got something else is going on. So, but it's just one of those things. And the thing is we got, it's been, long enough now, you have kids that are pretty much in middle school now that weren't
yeah, my son was that's the other thing is I was up early that day because we had to take my son to one of his checkups, I forget which one. He would have been like 3 months old or something, so just one of those normal things you take little kids to, and wife's getting them all bundled up, and it's a little chilly morning, and and I'm watching the TV just kind of killing time and see things flying into the buildings. And but the point is that he was on his way to he's 13 now. Is that right? He's 13 now. And so he was just, I guess he was one. Yeah, he'd just been about one. Yeah. So he's getting his 1 year boosters and all that. And so, and that's kind of weird too. Like then you just realize how much time has passed.
exactly. I was, I was telling, over the summer I went to Oklahoma. And I went to the memorial there from the McVeigh thing, and I guess it's so many years since it happened, but the kids that survived that were in nursery school then are in college now. I mean, it's been so long ago. I mean, the really young ones, the youngest of the youngest are in college now. So I mean, it's been over 20 years there. So these things, and I remember where I was when that happened too. I was just. We've seen a lot over the years, man. Mm-hmm. Just some craziness. And it's good that we remember it and the memorials that they have for it. Now, you went to the memorial this summer, didn't you?
Yeah, this summer we were there visiting. Took the family on the for my kids, at least, first time they'd been to New York. And one of the first days we were there, we went to the 9/11 memorial, and that was it was moving. I mean, with the empty, what they've basically done is they've left the ground empty where the towers were. Mm-hmm. So they're basically like the footprint of the building, and they've created these giant waterfalls that fall into it. And
is the waterfall active?
Active, and it's so all four walls are waterfalls, and then both buildings. So there's basically like kind of like eight giant waterfalls, and then there's another waterfall that's in the middle where that all goes back. And the thing that was, number of things, but one of the things that was the most striking was, I mean, you always know, I hadn't been in the World Trade Center, but I'd walked through the campus sort of thing. Like, I'd walked through the buildings, and, you know, big buildings, but yeah, big buildings all over New York. So you never really like, wow, it's a really big building. But when they're gone, and you see that emptiness, and you realize, wow, that's a
big footprint.
It's a big footprint. That, yeah. So that was like really striking to think something that big, that high. And of course, the World Trade One, I think they're calling it now, the one that's replacing, is when we were there, it was complete physically. And so what they were doing is basically like wiring and stuff inside. So it looked like another building. And it's like just towers above you. Anyhow, and then along the outer rim, they have like table size, kind of like bars, and they've cut out the names of everybody who died.
Yeah.
And one of the things I learned at the time, actually my wife told me about this, is that instead of just like listing them alphabetically or, you know, some sort of chronological sort of thing, they found out who were friends and who sat next to each other, and those names are in there. So, you know, so like this whole office. And these two people were next to each other. They were probably friends, or they hung out together, or, and that just made it all the more like, just wow. And same with fire engines. So like the companies that were, you know, guys who were like roommates or bunkmates or what have you, they were together. And so it's very well done, very tasteful. It's
You know what's interesting. Worth seeing. What's interesting about that? Like I said, I went to the Oklahoma Memorial, and similar thing. You know, I saw the waterfalls in the water today, on, you know, and the things that were going on today and the ceremonies. Mm-hmm. And they have chairs in the Oklahoma Memorial with everybody's name on it.
Yeah.
In there. But they've left where the building was. It's gone, and it's water, too. It's like some kind of pool, they call it. Not a wading pool, but, you know, it's just...
Yeah.
So what is it? Is there something significant when they do these memorials that they let them... Do they use water in all of them, or is this... Just had a coincidence that these two did.
I think that's more of a coincidence. I know from what I read, the 9/11 one, one of the reasons for the water was to kind of signifying the falling,
okay.
You know, the collapsing, the falling of the buildings, the falling of the people, you know.
Reflecting pool, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I said waiting.
Yeah. And so that's one of the big things about the water falls. Yeah. Was to kind of that symbol of like how they were lost. But yeah, I think a lot of times it's a reflecting pool. It's you know, pause, thought, yeah.
Well, yeah, interesting stuff, and you know, it's always good to remember those who were lost in these events, and hopefully we don't see this kind of stuff anymore, or yeah, at all.
Yeah.
We're going to take our first break, and we're going to come back and give our guests a proper introduction and get to talk to Tom, because it's always good to talk to Tom, and he's one of our knowledgeable guests that we bring in and talk about nutrition and stuff, and we'll get a chance to do that. You're listening to Swoops Roll on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. This one here is from the Swamp Music Players, and this is called Angola on the Mississippi. Back after this.
I'm running from the law. I'm running to my county. I'm heading from the parish. I'm heading across the line. Heading to my church. But I'm running out of time. 16 years take away from me Angola on the Mississippi. 16 years take away from me Angola on the Mississippi.
So, Jacqueline.
Yes, Mom?
I wanted to talk to you about something, and... Oh, wait. Hold on. I just got a text.
Oh, wait, Mom. I just got a message. So many comments on my comment.
Hey, guys, check out my
wait.
New video game.
Mom, what?
Huh?
Pew, pew. What'd you say?
This weekend, unplug. Getting closer to nature can get you closer to your family. To find the forest nearest you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Over here, behind the fence.
Huh? You? The bike?
Yeah, the bike. Here in the grass where the kids left me a while ago. Could you get the dust off my seat and remind the kids how fun I still am?
Okay. Oh, you are dusty.
I may need my spokes tightened, too. Let's go.
As Native American parents and caregivers, our encouragement to healthy lifestyles for our kids is helping them get outside and play.
Get ideas. Get involved. Get going at letsmove.gov/Indian Country. Brought to you by USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council.
You are listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
Hey, this is Sharp Mo on the wall, and you're listening to Soup's World.
Welcome back to Swoosh World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're happy to have as our guest today a good friend of a good personal friend, a good friend of the show, and a health and wellness expert, Tom O'Keefe. How you doing, Tom?
Real good. I almost hate to say that in this economy and this state of American health, but real good. I should apologize, but I'm not.
We're going to jump right into things and get this going because a lot of people are interested, and we got some text messages regarding some things too. So let's start with basically whole food nutrition, and especially when you talk about wellness and prevention. I know you're a big advocate of that. Tell us why.
Originally, it was selfish because I wasn't just an athlete. I was a crazy extreme athlete. I was usually doing three or four sports to burn off the 5,000 to 7,000 calories I was eating every day. Not that I was measuring it, but eventually I did because somebody said, "How much do you eat every day?" Because I would have four burgers for lunch. I would have a burger at a break at a Carl's Jr. drive-thru. I would eat two breakfasts, one at 6 a.m., one at 9. I would have another drive-thru snack at 3, and I would have a major Mexican dinner at 6 o'clock. And I would run 8 to 10 miles a day, hit the weights for an hour and a half during the day, and then work out at noon on my lunch break. And I was killing myself. And I believed only because I wanted to believe. What my relatives were telling me, they said, "Oh, Tom, he's so thin and so lean that you know, he can eat anything. He just burns it off." Well, what made me get interested in this is when I realized that the pain that I was going through, both internally and externally, and the arthritis and then when I had a blood test, which totally shocked me, and my cholesterol was through the roof, even my body fat was 6%. 215 pounds, 6% body fat, and off the chart cholesterol. Okay, fit, not healthy, right? And I said, you know, I hurt every time I move, even though I can come in first, it hurts. I just had a lot more drive than the other guys, or than most people. And I decided to take a look after I lost, you know, you get to go through, you carry enough caskets, you know, you start to pay attention, am I next?
Right.
And then when I realized that through a process that athletics was not the answer to wellness, maybe not even to fitness, because a lot of athletes, they pride themselves in being fit, but they're not even as fit as they could be, let alone healthy. They could be the opposite. So if you're not eating right, you shouldn't exercise. So I realized that, and I decided to make a change because I was in pain.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The thing is, you know, you're an athlete, and a lot of athletes, and a lot of people compensate for not eating right. They take lots of different vitamins.
Oh, you're playing into my hand now. Don't you be asking those what's his name? Who's the softball guy on CNN? Come on, he just retired. I can't remember.
Larry King?
Larry King.
Yeah, let's go there. They take a lot of different vitamins, and doesn't that, you know, take up the slack?
There have been more discontinued studies on purpose from every vitamin you can think of, any combination of ACE, folic acid, and long-term studies that have showed that the longer you stay on your multivitamin, isolated vitamin, the more discontinued studies there are because it was killing the patients. And your body actually converts an isolated vitamin, which doesn't exist in nature, a mega dose of anything doesn't exist in food, And my guess is there's a reason for that. And so you need a wide variety of everything, not a mega dose of anything. So your body converts that vitamin pill, which is a pharmaceutical, into a prooxidant, not an antioxidant. So the antioxidant that starts out in the little capsule, which can be, it's debatable whether they should even label it that, your body converts it into a friendly fire. And you end up shooting yourself with the same thing you think is protecting you. And the scientific proof is now rampant throughout not just America, but every, you know, Europe is leading the way. And I wish they weren't, but they are. But the studies support that.
Then why do we have people come up and they get a cold or something, and the doctor tells them, well, just, you know, get more vitamin C, take some vitamin C, and
after the fact, it absolutely has no effect whatsoever. In fact, if you take too much vitamin C, it actually thickens your arteries 2.5 times and can bring on high blood pressure. So, you know, some of the things that you think are going to help you, and I was one of the I kind of cut into your question there, and I apologize, but... you know, and I was one of the vitamin C megadosers because I believed Linus Pauling when he said, take more. Well, sure, we all did because there was no science to refute it. Right. And then starting in the 1990s, the scientific studies started to crop up because back when I was throwing down 10,000 pounds of everything you could think of, vitamins and food, they didn't have anything to say yes or no. It was just muscle and fitness and what the gym rat next to you said to take, and some guy on a bike said, eat this and drink this, and we did it. And now there's a war on between the pharmaceutical companies, which includes vitamin pills, and the food people. And here's the little funny analogy, and I thought of this on the way over here today, and I kind of laughed because I thought, doggone, I even like my own story. And so if you're taking a multivitamin or a vitamin concoction, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 13 known vitamins, and they call them vitamins because they've been attributed to some specific disease. All right? But the gotcha here is that in food, where vitamins come from, with the exception of B12, which is you find in animal products, and D3, basically D from the sunshine, right? The rest of it's from plants. In fact, where do pharmaceuticals come from? Plants, right? Even medicinal, whatever it is, right? Plants. So, you got 13 known vitamins, which there can be other things that can be attributed to stopping a specific disease, but they just haven't assigned it yet, right? And then you got the food side of things, and there's over 25,000 known nutrients, which a vitamin is, right? Some vitamins are misnamed vitamins, and they're actually hormones, like D3. It's actually a hormone, not a vitamin anyway. So you've got 25,000 plus phytochemicals, nutrients, on one side, and 13 known megadose vitamin pills that man extracts and puts them in a pill in a combination that says you need this, you need that, and they sell a guy a bag of pills for $400 and say, go home, you'll be fine, thanks for your money. And you can't convert the vitamin pills into the food. You can't turn 13 into 25,000.
Right.
But the 25,000 plus, your body will convert those as needed, depending on the needs that your body has, into whatever vitamin placement you need that your body needs to send it wherever it needs to go on an as-needed basis. So you can convert whatever you want if you're eating the right stuff.
Well, let's
that's kind of almost humorous. I mean, the math is pretty simple.
Let's talk about the foods and the right stuff and the kind of things that you hear. Now I know you and I know where you come from, and I've talked to you about lots of times. So I know a lot of times you talk about fresh vine ripened fruits and greens and you know the lean meats and things like that. And And that's a good way for prevention and being healthy. But we hear a lot these days with various diets and things, and people will tell you, well, if you have this blood type, you should eat this way. And if you have this blood type, you should eat that way. If you're an athlete for peak performance, you should eat a certain way. Is that
you're not
true?
Allowed to ask me tough questions. No, it's good.
Should we be that detailed, or is there something simple and easy for just anybody to do?
When I give advice, I stick within my realm of competence. Mm-hmm. And even with people who are competent in their field, the eating for your blood type is still highly debated. And, I have my opinions on that, and I have my opinions on how much protein you need, and there's not much debate on how much protein you need anymore, but I even stay away from that. So I advise people to stick with the basics that you know are true, and don't get caught up in colon cleanses, which is one of the biggest ripoff on the planet Earth. Don't get caught in, and that's even all over the news now, but people are still doing it because there's money in it, right?
Yeah.
People are being ripped off right and left with stupid stuff. And don't get ripped off with all the different varieties of mega protein stuff. Protein's debatable, but not as much as it used to be. We're over-proteined, all right? Stay away from the eating for your blood type. People who are looking for an excuse to find something that's so difficult nobody can do it are just looking for a reason to go back to their donuts, you know? And some way they can explain to themselves why it can't be done.
Right.
And to lower their expectations so they can't excel. And so I say, keep it simple. Get your wide variety every day. Eat your 15 to 20 servings of plant food. Get your 40 grams of fiber every day. Half your body weight in water every day, and more if you exercise. And get a good night's rest, which is more than 7 hours. And try to reduce stress in your life, because stress will cause weight gain. Stress will degrade, will impair your sleep, because stress exacerbates the production of cortisol, which is your fat storage hormone. And then it also ruins your insulin resistance. So if you just stick with the real, you know, your grandmother was right. Eat your fruits and vegetables. 3/4 of your plate should be vegetables, a little bit of fruit, and some protein. And dairy's off on the planet, off to the edge of the planet. It isn't even on the main plate anymore, which is a good thing. And even though I love cheese, everybody knows. Because, you know, if you know me well enough, and you know me, so you know I'm not a saint. And I come from making all the mistakes, and I come from the vitamin world, and I come from growing up on pharmaceuticals, because I was a sickly kid, and I had everything, you know, I got antibiotics. You know, I got a needle in every body part, and my brother even suffers more than I do, because he got more of it. My folks were practicing on me, and he got the full dose. You got a virus? Hey, antibiotics has no effect, right? So, real simple. Just get a boatload of wide variety. And you mentioned a key word, fresh, and I think that was your question. But I was.
Yeah, I could
run for president, because you can ask me any question, and I'm going to tell you what I think.
Well,
we're going to keep you
under the straight and narrow here.
What does fresh mean?
Let's not go too far now. We're coming up on a break, and I'm going to give you a little heads up on what I want to know when we come back. Fresh, as people call fresh, what they see in the market, frozen, and shop in the perimeter. You're listening to Swoops World on Talk Story Radio Network. We're here with Tom O'Keefe, and we're also simulcasting live on AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. It's time for a quick break and listen to some Steve Delamater. This is called Little Miss Monkey Feet, recorded live here in the Swoops World Studios. We'll be back after this.
Miss monkey feet, walking with your top hat down the street. Overall, overalls are quite replete. Catch you in the road just doing a jig, out when the moon's so stupid big. Just to dance with you would be quite a treat. You want to grow old and live your white hair fantasy? Well, I hope you go about that quite legitimately. But tell me, did it ever strike you as a trifle insane to go dancing naked on the rooftop in the pouring rain? Never my mind starts to wonder, I can find you in a treehouse over yonder, yodeling down through the valley when the sun is full. When you're done swinging from the trees outside, you come indoors and watch the Princess Bride. So much fun, it's inconceivable. You know she's someone's barefoot baby, and all the clouds above her turn to gravy when she goes prancing by. Heck yes, it would be quite grand to spend the rest of my days at a lemonade stand, or at least until the middle of July. Late at night when it's getting gloomy, you double wink at me from across the room with a sultry voice and a dress so bright and green. We go to a show where the band is kicking and we start rubbing elbows with the ducks and the chickens. Smiling so big it might just be obscene. It's kind of ridiculous. You strut down the boulevard wagging your fist. Wagging your fist. And why are the creatures in the city locked up in the zoo? Little miss, please don't be blue. I enjoy all the silly little things you do. And above all, I thank you for being you. Cause Miss Monkey Feet, I just might be a little ape too.
I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. How do I choose a book? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual. If a book's really impressing me and the writing is really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
For a little ride.
Now you can share the topics that drive the discussions of your favorite talk shows with TalkStream Live's topic-driven talk radio.
We gotta talk. Let's take a drive.
List and promote real-time talk radio topics or post the topics that you want to hear. Hot topics are tweeted and retweeted and include simple click-to-listen audio links. The future of talk radio is topic-driven talk radio.
Now that's what I call real drive.
Available now at TalkStreamLive.com.
Talk Story Radio.
Hi, my name is Brett Michelle. I'm a singer-songwriter based in Los Angeles. Why don't you sit back, grab a cold beer, and listen in, because you're listening to Swoop's World.
The world spins before my eyes. One wrong turn, I'm left behind. And so I hide under my skin till I can't stop.
They're on the radio.
Welcome back to Swoop's World on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio. We are here with Tom O'Keefe, and he's a health and wellness expert. And Tom, before we went to the break, I told you there's a couple things I want to talk to you about. And, you know, you're the second person, I had the pleasure of talking to you and listening to you Saturday. You're the second person that I've listened to that I have a lot of respect for in the last couple months that says that frozen vegetables and frozen fruits are actually really, really good for you. And you want to tell us why?
Because fresh
people,
is important.
People,
fresh
we always,
is important.
We always hear, don't get frozen, don't get canned, you know, that kind of stuff. So.
Right. So stay away from the canned.
Right.
Right. And I'm not going to say why, just stay away from the canned. And I'll give you a little story. I just heard from somebody who has an inside track at more than one farmer's market. And a lot of the farmer's market foods get transferred from one farmer's market to the next. And they pose as fresh. And if you pick something, I'll get to the frozen. If you pick something early enough and green enough, even organic, especially organic, it's going to stay a little firmer, a little longer, right? It's going to look fresher, okay? If you pick an avocado before it's ripe, so it gets soft on the tree, right? It's going to be hard if you pick it before it's ripe. And you can put it on the windowsill and it gets soft, but it won't get ripe. So what ripe means, what fresh means, is you allowed it to get the maximum nutrition while it was still growing.
Right.
Like a baby in a mommy's tummy. You want it to stay in the mommy as long as you can to get the maximum nutrients. You can't inject that after the kid's born.
Right.
So, it'll get soft, but it won't get ripe.
Right.
Right. And if you allow it to ripen, and you pick it, and you freeze it early, you've captured most of that nutrition. And oftentimes, it's better than what you find at the farmer's market, depending on how it's grown, whether the soil had real fertilizer, do they use synthetics, is it right under the airstrip at the local airport, do they even bother to turn their soil and rotate their crops, are they mass producing food and they don't really worried about the nutrition? Some fertilizers, whether you buy frozen food or pick it fresh and they call it organic, some of the stuff, organic means it's herbicide, pesticide free in the dirt, right? But, and no synthetics has to be real humus, but you don't know what else has been dropped off or blown in or flown over or what, you don't know. And there's so many variations on organic that the government has given a category, given a new category for somebody who doesn't want to be full on.
Right.
So it's frozen is no slouch, depending on how it was grown.
Right.
And if you eat food that doesn't know it's been picked, right? If you pick it and eat it right away. Like I eat off my tower garden every freaking day. I ate celery off my tower garden, and I was just over at my pastor's church today replanting his tower garden, and he has celery growing. His is better than mine. Celery growing off his fresh tower garden, aeroponic system. And I grabbed a chunk of his stuff, and I go on, holy mackerel. This is unbelievable. You can't get this at the finest grocery store. You can't get this taste, this flavor. People, kids would want to eat this if they could just taste how good this is.
Yeah.
So, if you eat a plant that's grown in real nutrients and not just Miracle-Gro to make the plant look good and green, but actually good for human nutrition, which is what the Tower Garden formula has been designed for, human nutrition, not just to make a plant grow. The plant doesn't know it's dead yet. It doesn't know it's been picked. It thinks it's still growing, and you're eating live food. It's amazing. It's amazing, which is why restaurants are fighting over the food that they're fighting over it now. So there's a food war out there, and the dirt farmers are converting over to aeroponic systems to bring fresher food to the restaurants, because you know it is a money game, and restaurants want the patrons that are looking for that kind of taste, and basically human nutrition is a byproduct.
When you talk about, I've heard you speak, and you talk about shopping the perimeters at the grocery store. What exactly does that mean?
That means where the real food is. So the boxes, bottles, and cans, and now the food stores are starting to outthink us. They're starting to put the boxes, bottles, and cans on the perimeter now
because
they've heard the story. So the flaky flakes and the fruity loops and all these things, they're starting to.
So Lucky Charms is not good for us.
It's got all the colors.
It says eat the rainbow. You said
I said
eat the colors.
I said
eat the colorful stuff.
M&M's are good for you. I did. And there's a funny little story, and I can send it to you. And it's my good friend down in San Diego sent me this little story, and it goes this woman goes to the doctor, and she says, doctor, what can I do to get healthy? You know, my memory's fading and my joints hurt. And he goes, you got to eat for color. And she goes, well, I can do that. In her mind, she pictured a cereal bowl full of M&Ms with a little bit of cream in it. And that was her version of eating for color. And when they were telling the story, because this is a PowerPoint presentation, they didn't show you the bowl of M&Ms. They just had her vision of eat for color. I can do that. I can do that.
Peter, did you have something?
Yeah, I was wondering how you felt about things like... you know,
you're not going to go extreme on me here.
Nope,
I mean,
nope.
Go off in the...
I'm in your wheelhouse here, man. you know, we're talking about health and athletics. And everybody, you know, how many times you go see the pickup game and everybody's got like six different kinds of Gatorade or Powerade or some sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because everybody knows you need electrolytes, especially when you're playing a pickup game, right?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that? How do you feel about, you know, because people do believe that like this is like... Drinking a Gatorade is like drinking water. It's good for you, right?
Yeah, right. And it's the worst kind of sugar you can put in your body because it's all chemicalized. That's a new word.
I like that word, though.
You heard it here first. Another Swoosh Bowl exclusive.
Another exclusive. Yeah,
chemicalized. And nobody needs that amount of sugar. If you want energy, get the real food. Electrolytes, what a joke. Nobody, if you ask somebody what it is, you know, sodium, potassium, magnesium, salt and pepper, you know. So, you know, just the basics. Eat a banana and put it in some water and have a nice day. Nobody needs Gatorade. In fact, I've seen the contract in the NFL where the NFL players aren't allowed to drink Gatorade on the field. The solution's 2%, 98% water. They already know that if you want to get a cramp, just overload on the Gatorade, because sugar prohibits the absorption of water into the cell. So the best way to hydrate and the best way to get energy is to eat well the night before, have a good liquid energy source, which I can recommend because I think I put it in front of you right there.
And, Peter's using it as a coaster.
Yeah. if you ask, I love the story of Usain Bolt when they said, how do you run so fast? What do you eat? And I think they were in his homeland where he held up this yam in his hand. I eat one or two yams a day because it's rocket fuel. It sustains your energy throughout the day. You don't need 5-hour energy. And now they have 5-hour energies. Actually come out with a 6-hour energy. There is a 6-hour energy.
There's people that are like crashing and burning after those first 5 hours.
Right.
One more hour, get me through the day.
Right. Gatorade will give you 20 minutes of a little bit of lift, but the sugar will impede your athletic performance because it will nullify your body's natural athletic response to oxidative stress, which is complicated. Way of saying it'll slow you down, you'll feel all amped up. It's kind of like the videos that were taken of me when I was running Masters Track and my daughter saw me running at Santa Barbara City College quarter mile. I thought my legs were churning, and in my own mind, I was running like a gazelle. And then I saw the video, and I go, that plow horse shouldn't even be allowed to even be presented in the public. So Gatorade is the last thing anybody needs unless you're running two back-to-back marathons. If you're out there for 2 hours running, 450 miles, maybe. But I guarantee you those guys aren't doing it on Gatorade. They know how to fuel their body, not just feed it a bunch of sugar and useless so-called electrolytes, which basically clogging up your system.
We spent a great deal, and you kind of focused on vegetables and fruit, and you talked a little bit about meat, but in the big scheme of things, of, you know, you hear all the people talking, everybody's got their camp. Vegetarians, vegans, are you a vegetarian? Are you vegan? Or do you eat meats? And does meat serve a purpose? Or can we get by without it?
I had salmon for dinner tonight.
All right. So you're a pescatarian. Well, you're a pescatarian.
Pescatarian. Right.
Pescophore, I like.
You know,
yeah, exactly.
I would say 90% of it. I do eat eggs. There's a lot of controversy of whether you should eat eggs, whether you should eat any fowl at all. You know, I know the healthiest people on the planet, and I know this. And the reason I haven't become a total vegetarian is because I'm weak. And I love the taste of salmon, and I don't eat it every day, but I eat a ton of beans, I eat a ton of avocado, I eat a ton of plant food, I eat yams, I eat a lot of real food.
So you're getting the amount of protein that you need doing that?
And here's the funny thing. You don't need 50 grams of protein at any one time. If you want to kill yourself, just go right ahead.
Jim, have you been in?
Every gym, and I've heard all the conversations. You know,
you buy a ton of stuff that gets you 50 grams per drink.
I know. You glug all this stuff down, and there's a dead guy at the end of that bottle. And I won't mention his name. I see him in the gym all the time now. It's his first name, and before his first name, it's Big, and then his name, and he's big.
Yeah.
But he's just gone through his 13th treatment with chemo, and really nice guy, but no open mind. He didn't want to listen. He's still getting his advice from
Muscle and Fitness.
God, no, Muscle and Fitness, you know. And, you know, I was a Muscle and Fitness fan. I like looking at the pictures and going, man, how do I get like that?
Exactly.
Yeah, you'll have a 7-egg omelet and throw in the cheddar cheese. Oh, yeah, and I used to eat a whole chicken for lunch. Literally, a whole chicken for lunch.
Anybody who spent any time in especially any of these gyms, and we talked about this in the past, and I used to go to a well-known, well-named gym where every day you saw several professional bodybuilders.
Elliott's.
I went to Elliott's for a while, too, but then I went to Gold's in Venice for a long time, too. And if you talk to any one of them, that's what it is. You got to eat a whole chicken for lunch. And it was all about eating constantly, working out two or three times a day, and sleeping. And that was... some of them tan too, but you know, and that was it. It was about as getting as many amino acids and as much protein in your system that you could take, and desiccated liver tablets and all the crazy stuff those guys were doing, and everybody,
and they all destroyed their kidneys
area. Well, they're like,
and their livers.
Well, some of them ended up on dialysis.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
And you know the dialysis. You've heard of the TED conference.
Yeah, sure.
Right? His last name's Finley. Finley.
Big baseball player?
No, Google up Finley TED conference YouTube. It'll be the most moving YouTube 20-minute segment you've ever watched. And in his talk, I use him all the time. He's talking about South L.A. He goes, it isn't the grocery stores that are selling real food that are popping up at every street corner. And he showed pictures of the dialysis centers that are showing up from people eating all the crap food. You know, beer's not crap food. There's probably a good element in there somewhere.
There is.
Yeah, there is.
I can taste it.
It's in our bylaws here. It's what's wrong.
You Google up Finley TED conference, and it'll blow you away. This guy is an excellent speaker, and he nails it.
Yeah.
You know, dialysis and all of that. People eating the stuff they shouldn't be eating and thinking that it's just bad genes or bad luck.
Well, And make note of that. I'm going to check that out after the show. But we only have about 10 minutes left, and there's a couple other things I want to talk to you about. You talk about fresh foods and good nutrition and being able to get that in your system and farmers markets and stuff like that. A lot of people will say to you, that's way too expensive when you can get a whole meal at McDonald's for under $5. How do you combat that? How do you, because a lot of people, you can sit there and beat them over the stick about what they're doing to their body, what they're doing in their health, and to them, that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is what they can afford financially. Right. How does someone who's struggling financially eat healthy?
I knew you were going to make me say this. It's less expensive to buy the right food, because when you eat the right food, you can throw your medicine cabinet away. If you think of the big picture, I don't have a medicine cabinet anymore. I don't need one. My wife doesn't have migraine headaches anymore. She grew up with them, kept them her whole life until she met me, and even I didn't.
They got worse,
then.
Right?
and now I can bring them on purpose, but they're not, they don't bubble up from. So, 16 years ago, I was introduced to Juice Plus, and I thought it was another one of those vitamin hoaxes. And it was right about the time when my mom died. My dad died shortly before that, and half of my baseball team that I grew up with, I buried with diabetes and MS and cancer and heart disease, and buried my good buddy, L.A. County Sheriff, name is Bob. Just all happened that same year. I mean, I was doing the eulogies. The priest said, and the speaker will be Tom. And I made the decision that year that I was going to change professions, and I did. And my wife's doctor and a couple other doctors recommended that we take Juice Plus, which is whole food in a capsule. And it's cheaper than a cup of coffee at Denny's. And for that same price, I realized that a mom could supply her child with free fruits and vegetables for 4 years for the price of one adult that costs less than a cup of coffee at Denny's. And that child would be getting an extra 8 pounds of produce every day in a capsule or chewy form. And I go, yeah, right. And then I saw the universities around the world that were already using this in their medical centers. And I go, I wonder if this would impact my life. And I reversed some of the lighter things, like not being able to sleep at night, and attention span, that of a gnat, to being able to remember the questions that you ask here tonight. Even my taste buds improved, because I love veggies now. It actually changed my taste buds. It snuck it in, so I appreciated food better. So when somebody says good food's expensive, I said, we need to have a conversation. Are you willing to have a conversation? Are you open to having a conversation? Athletes need 18 to 20 servings of plants a day. The bulk of that, veggies, not fruit. The average person, 9 to 13. Who does that? I try, but I don't get enough. And it's real important. You know, I'm going to check on my buddy who had a heart attack. He was up on a ladder. It's my brother John's buddy down the street, works for United Airlines. He just not open-minded. I shouldn't even say this, because maybe somebody knows him. great guy. Wonderful guy. Not open-minded. Doesn't want to know. His wife's taking care of him. He eats what she puts on the table, and nobody's getting in. Nobody's getting in. I like to laugh, but I'm on a warpath. Because there is no time to waste. It's fun to talk about stuff that's lighthearted, But I'm on a serious mission. That's why I'm driving to Santa Barbara to do a conference on Saturday.
Yeah.
She'll be home with my wife, but I'll make it up to her on Sunday.
Real quick, we only have about 4 minutes left, and you mentioned something there that I think a lot of people go through. A lot of people live with someone else, or married to someone else, who does the shopping, the cooking, and things like that. And don't want to rock the boat. So, or just enjoy what they get. But when they want to make a change in their life, and I know you speak to people and you speak all over the world, and you counsel people
in my own world.
How does one who says I need to make a change in my world for my own health, but I don't do the shopping and the cooking?
Always.
How do they deal with that?
I always start with I love you. Always start with that. And never,
there's a but coming.
and there's no buts. There's no yeah buts.
Yeah.
The yeah buts. And I go, love you to death. And this is what I need to do for myself. And I'm not going to try to change you. You know, I watch people's feet, not their lips. And I don't live for my health, and I don't live to be healthy. I live to be healthy enough to do what I need to do while I'm on this planet. Being healthy is not my goal. I'm not going to micromanage my life. I'm going to enjoy every day. I'm going to blow and go every day, and I'm going to enjoy every minute. But I want to be healthy enough. My daughter's going to have a second child.
Well, congratulations.
Aaron's going to have a second child. I know it's either going to be a boy or a girl.
You're pretty quick that way. All that education didn't go to waste.
I want to be healthy enough to enjoy them and the people I love and care about the most. And to me, that's what health is all about. I believe I'm here for a reason. And I greatly appreciate you allowing me to spout off. And I got to carry a ball a little bit. And thanks for giving me the freedom to do so.
Absolutely, Tom. Thanks a lot. It's always great having you on the show. If people want to get a hold of you and contact you about what you know or find out more about Juice Plus or Tower Gardens, how do they get a hold of you?
562-212-2951.
Make sure you let them know you heard them on Swoop's World. Tom, thanks so much. It's always a pleasure, and you're welcome to hang around. We're going to do our brewski tasting here in a minute.
That's right.
And it's always fun, man. Thanks a lot.
Welcome.
You're listening to Swoop's World on the Talk Show Radio Network, and we're going to take a quick break, listen to some Delaney Simpson. This is called Pathetic Girl, and we'll be back after this.
You've got me thinking, what's the reason for dealing with the pain I'm in? What's the reason? Look before you leap, they say. I wouldn't listen. Stranger in the mirror, don't wanna see her again. I'm just a pathetic girl running from the world. Look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl. Leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. I've been wondering how to make it happen. Escape from the life I live, how to make it happen. Crying's not a shame, they said. I don't believe them. Twisted thoughts in my head, that's where I'll keep them. I'm just a pathetic girl running from the world. Look
look up at the sky, you'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl. Leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. You'll see no light. I'm just a pathetic girl. Leave behind this world. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light. Look into my eyes, you'll see no light.
Today, you ate Greek yogurt. You took the train. You wondered why people spend so much time reading celebrity blogs. You read a celebrity blog. You planned a workout. You skipped it. You did all the things that one normally does the day before a devastating earthquake shakes the community to the ground. You never know when the day before is the day before. Prepare for tomorrow at ready.gov/today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Ondrasik of Five for Fighting, here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. You know, style is a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody's business. So please, plan ahead, designate before you celebrate, friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service announcement brought to you by RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
This is Mean and Nasty, and I'm a Virgo.
Yo, LJ.
Gemini.
You're listening to Swoop's World Radio. Get with it, or get lost.
Very lost.
Swoop's World. Yeah, we in here. Got Mean sitting next to me. So this is how we do it. Listen.
Okay, vibe with me as I speak. You witnessing the legend. Black J, we repping 102 DIY to the death. Ain't no crutches on me.
It's time for Brewskies, our beer tasting segment right here at Swoop's World Late Night, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. So grab yourself a glass, pour yourself a brew, and join us right now for Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com.
Right, well, happy Wednesday, and welcome to another Brewski session, our favorite part of the show. No offense, Tom, but Brewskies is just really fun. So tonight we're drinking something new for us, but from an old friend here, Rogue Brewing, right?
Yeah.
So these guys do, they do traditional beers, then they also do some crazy stuff, like, not that I've ever had it, but I've seen they have a bacon-flavored beer. So these guys, they cover everything. I mean, there's something out there. They're a little bit crazy that way. Here's what they have to say. It's called the Morimoto.
And I like
soba.
I like
ale.
Chef Morimoto, man. So this is cool. This is his beer.
So the delicate flavor of our roasted soba brings a nutty finish to this light and refreshing ale, a perfect accompaniment to lighter cuisine. It's got light on the hops here. It looks like Cascade and Pearl. Those aren't big heavy ones. It's obviously got roasted soba, Western Two Row, and it's 30 IBU, so it's on the light end. They don't give us an alcohol content, but at 12 places, it's probably going to be like in the 5%, maybe 6%. So it's going to, for us, that's a lighter beer, but for some people, that's a little on the heavier side. And so that's it. That's what we have to say about it. Now it's time to taste it. So let's let Tom get a little head start there. He was complaining about needing
Tom
a little
needs more processing.
Need a little
time.
More processing.
All right.
Process. Salute.
Salute.
Okay. Clink. Don't let anybody hear that sound. It didn't sound like glass to me.
Well, we always let the guests go first. Tom, I think you explained it to him when
I did.
Stepped
I
out.
I did, yep.
Just tell us what you think about it, honest opinion. Don't give us any numbers yet. But
No numbers yet. I don't know if this is supposed to be hoppy or not, but it's not very hoppy. It's smooth. Very drinkable. I wouldn't vote this one of my favorite beers. I don't think it's big enough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Who's up? You, Bo?
Sure. It's a little sour.
Yeah.
Kind
of caught me off guard.
Yeah.
Wasn't expecting that.
It's got a tinge of almost like a sour to it that I wasn't ready for. I agree with you, Tom. It is a little limp, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm going to drink it.
Yeah.
I can't say a lot beyond that, to be honest.
Yeah.
This one, it's not baffling. and not off-putting.
Yeah.
But somewhere in between those two.
Yeah. It's an odd... You can definitely taste the soba, and that I do like. It's that nuttiness that they described. That's definitely there, and I like that part of it. It's the other parts around it that don't seem to quite work for me.
It doesn't finish well.
It has a bit of a
soapy taste.
Yeah, and as Bon was saying, like there's definitely a sour there. I think it's properly hopped. It's not because anything hoppier than this, you wouldn't taste beer. I mean, it's so thin, I guess is the word I'm looking for. I mean, I knew it was going to be different, but I don't know. I think I was caught a little off guard. I had just like the direction it went. I didn't expect this, I suppose. So. It'll get drunk, but I don't know. Not my favorite.
I never had a beer made with soba. It is sour. I get that. I mean, I almost get that bit into a lemon thing up in the
almost.
In it's an unusual taste, but I think I know what Morimoto was going for. Just because I know that the style of cooking he does, you know, it's Japanese cuisine. He likes spices. You know, he likes big flavors, not like heavy flavors, but he likes to use a lot of spice and a lot of things like that with it. And I think for something like that, it goes well. As a beer, a standalone beer, it really not worked.
Well, I'm going to jump the gun here because normally we talk about food that we go with.
Yeah.
If we were, this is beer that I don't see, and we've had this a number of occasions where we've talked about beer. This is a beer that needs to go with food. This is definitely a beer that needs to go with food. And I'm thinking like if you ate tuna with a splash of wasabi on there,
right.
this is gonna work.
That's kind of what I was trying to say.
Yeah, I can see that. I could see chicken that's like a ginger sweet sour. Not too sweet, but more on the spicy sour part of it.
Right.
This is going to work.
But it's not just a beer to drink.
It's not a standalone drink beer. Let's drink beers. It doesn't. It's a beer that definitely... We had one of those a couple weeks ago. We're like, this is a good beer, but it needs to go with food.
Yeah.
This is another one of those. And
I think it needs to go with the style of food that more...
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this isn't going to be Italian food.
No.
Or not even probably heavy barbecue. I mean, this is going to be spicy... Asian flavors like cilantro and cumin and those types of flavors, this beer is probably going to pair up quite nicely. By itself, it's sort of like you're kind of left hanging. It needs something else to kind of bounce
itself
off.
It's not a summer afternoon beer by
itself.
Is any food suggestions?
There wasn't any there, except for it said seafood and poultry, which is pretty
general.
That works. But I mean, I think you have to be more specific than that because roasted chicken isn't going to go with this either. You know, so that's poultry,
right.
And technically turkey's poultry, and that's not going to go either. So you got to be a lot more precise. You know, like a ginger chicken with like peppers and stuff.
Lemongrass.
That's good. Lemongrass. Yeah. Yeah. That's gonna work great. So it kind of does. It's almost a disservice to drink it on its own. But that being said, it's interesting. And
it's really interesting. Which is the reason we ended up with it.
Shrimp, like a sauteed spicy shrimp or something like that.
Or ginger shrimp.
Yeah, that would go nicely too.
Tom, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being best, and you can score it however you want to score it, I'm throwing it out there. I won't be able to score this.
You told him he could score it however he wants.
You can score it any way you want.
I'm trying to color his
perception. For me, I'll probably end up with multiple scores, and I'll tell you why afterwards. But
because he wants to make you work.
1 to 10, 10 being best, Tom?
You always gauge things based on what your taste buds have tasted and what you're familiar with. And
it's coming behind a big bowl for us.
Yeah, I can't give this any better than a 5.
Timo.
4.5.
Yeah.
Peter.
I'm out of 4.
Yeah, we always kind of go through these things, and Peter said this many a times. He said, "Well, they say it's a double IPA, and if I'm going to put it in that category, it's this and that." I can only imagine what it would taste like paired with the right foods.
Yeah.
But since we don't have that here to go by, and I can only score it as a standalone beer, I'm with you guys. I'm about a 4.5. I think it would score higher if I had something to.
That's the thing about this beer, is if we were eating some of this food we've been talking about, we might be going, this is the best damn beer I've ever had. Exactly. You know, we might, because it would be working.
But we're tasting it as a sound. But as we're a tasting standalone. It, yeah.
Sounds like something worth exploring.
Yeah.
Obviously not
if
tonight.
If we only knew a chef.
If we knew a chef who food.
Could work.
Sounds like we have a weekend project.
Yeah.
T-Bone, where are we at here?
We're at a 4.5.
4.5, a solid 4.5.
Lovely.
Lovely. T-Bone likes when the math rounds out
easy
even.
Easy no repeating lines.
There you have it. Another edition of Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Again, that's Brewskies, sponsored by DrinksWineSpirits.com. Go there, join the Beer of the Month Club, and you too can be tasting what we taste each week. Let me let you know about a couple good friends of Swoops World while we're at it.
Please do.
Thank you, Bob. First, let me tell you about our good friends over at Rowworks, formerly Powerhouse Fitness, Jack Nunn, good friend of the show. If you want to get in shape, stay in shape, achieve some personal goals or some professional goals, that's the place to go. He's got indoor rowing, boot camp, personal training, and much, much more. Location 5750 Boathouse Lane. Give them a call at 562-688-1716. Check out their website at www.rowworks.com. Let them know that Swoops World sent you, and your first week is free. For all your mobile detailing needs, if you're in the Southern California area, go to SoCal Mobile Detailing Spa, where Brandon Williams goes after the dirt. Best prices in town. Three ways to get a hold of them: 310-997-5660. 562-856-8121, or send them an email at so.calmds@gmail.com. Also, let them know that Swoops World sent you. And if you're in the Long Beach area on Thursday, September 19th, Third Thursdays is happening down on Broadway, and some good friends of ours, we are talking about Patty Palmieri and Myrna, Almas?
Almas.
Myrna Almas. They Almas have some, yes, they're featuring artisans. That's what it says, feature artists. They do a lot of fancy glass work, and there'll be some cool stuff there, some cool artwork and stuff. Check them out over at Sasha's, located at 3237 East Broadway. That's Thursday, September 19th, 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And check out the jewelry and all the cool glass work that they got going on over there. T-Bone, tell us a little bit about color patterns.
All right, so this is like an iPad, but it's not. Which means that I don't have the privilege of running color patterns while I'm on Swoops World. I have to go over to Swoops' house and use his iPad when he's not there, which makes for a very interesting adventure. But if you have access to an iPad and a credit card or a debit card or an iTunes gift card, use $1.99 and pick up color patterns. It's from Talk Story Media, the same folks that bring you Swoops World each and every week here from Studio B. And color patterns is a good time. You get to take several preset patterns. Takes all of the pain in the ass out of making cool artistic stuff with colors and things. You don't have to draw straight lines or perfect circles or anything like that. That's already done for you. All you have to do is color it in with whatever colors you want. After you fix all of your creations to your liking, and you can do this with your fingers or you can do it with a stylus. Once you're done with that, you can save and share your creations on a whole bunch of different online services, Facebook, Twitter, Dropbox, Hootie-Doo-Doo-Doo. And even after you're done with all that, you can downright go physical with it. You can have a postcard printed out and sent to your friends anywhere in the world so they can see how good you still are at coloring after all these years. Check it out in the App Store, Color Patterns, brought to you by Talk Story Media, $1.99. Yes, we're out of our mind.
For those of you who like to cycle and look for cool places to ride, if you're in the Orange County area of Southern California, there's a good way to find out where the best places to ride are, aren't there, Peter?
There is. There's a book I wrote called Where to Bike Orange County, part of a travel series, of which there's about 10 or 12 different titles. And I did Where to Bike in Orange County. It covers 80 best rides in the area. 50 of those are kids. 50 of those are adult rides. 30 of those are kids rides. Geared towards the recreationalists who'd like to put in more time in the saddle. There's everything from the kind of casual date ride or you know, take your kids on the ride to the hardcore 40-50 mile ride with thousands of feet of climbing. The book comes with maps, a ride log, side trips, places to eat, places to take breaks, side trips, and all that. So it's full day to just like a brief ride, whatever you need. There's also an app that comes with it, which ties in with your Google Maps, and that's very convenient in case you get lost, which you should not do if you're following the ride log.
You can read.
If you can read, it shouldn't be a problem. You can get the book at, as we've discussed, in the local Barnes & Nobles here in Long Beach, both stock it. Some of your bike shops are now getting it. You can always get it off of Amazon, Barnes & Noble, those types of big box stores and online. And if you go to the Swoops World page, there's an ad there for the book. If you buy it after clicking through there, we'll earn a few more pennies.
Yeah.
Yes, indeedy.
So there you go. Pick it up. Check
good
it out.
Good way to support the show.
Yeah. Get on the bike and ride.
Get on your bike and ride. Another great way to support the show is tell a friend. Word of mouth is the best advertising there is. So you enjoy the show. You tune in every week to tell a friend. And we want to give a shout out to all of those who listen to us every week. Regardless of how you listen to us, whether it's on SwoopsWorld.com, on TalkStream Live, on the Swoops World app for the iPhone or the Android devices, or any other ways that the many ways you can listen to us, we truly appreciate it, and we thank you for listening. In a few minutes, we're going to get a call from Brent Michelle, a good friend of the show. She's got a cool thing that she's doing. And she's going to be talking about, and we're going to talk to her about that a little bit. And we want to thank Tom O'Keefe for coming in tonight. And if you didn't catch his number, he'll give it out again. You can go to the Swoops World's homepage and click on the tab there, and we can get you in touch with Tom. And if you're interested in more of the Garden Tower stuff, there's a little link to that on the front page of SwoopsWorld.com also. So. Anyway, you want to do that, get a hold of Tom. He's got plenty of advice. Tom, before we move on to the next thing real quick, you had mentioned we didn't cover the you have these shakes that you like to make. One is for post-workout, one is for pre-workout, and one is for just for general health. Can you kind of cover that real quick in about 2 minutes?
Well, you know what? I may do better than that. From time to time, we have a green shake Saturday at 10 a.m., and I make green shakes for anybody who shows up, and I show them how to make the shake, what to put in first, second, third, fourth, and it's a real easy way. This shake has been used by the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Olympic teams in France, Germany, Austria, and the U.S. rowing team, with amazing results on dissipating lactic acid, more oxygen to the muscle. Kids who take this shake actually remember the play that the coach sends them out on the field to do.
That's so, at least until they smash their brain.
Until they until they get a concussion playing concussion ball. Uh-huh. Right. So the ingredients in the shake are real food, the foods to shop for in the store, things that blend well, things you want to do before exercise, things that you might not want to do before exercise, like high fiber because you're running to the toilet instead of playing on the field. So I'll be letting Swoop know about our next Green Shake Saturday, and people can y'all come, and instead of y'all, it can be all y'all if you really want to bring it, okay?
Real quick, because our audience is worldwide.
Yeah.
Those who aren't in the immediate area, can they? You want to give that number again so they can get a hold of you and find out more about those Green Shakes?
562-212-2951.
Thank you, Tom.
Yep.
Any minute now, we'll be getting a call from Brent Michelle. So I'm going to hold off on T-Bone's timeout. Hold off on a quick break because there she is. Man, she's like
clockwork.
Exactly. I'm like punctuality. Hello, you're live on Switch Row.
Hello.
Is this Brent?
This is she.
Brent Michelle. First of all, we welcome Brent Michelle to the show. She's a past guest, an outstanding musician. And Brent's got some cool stuff coming up and she wanted to talk about. I'd like to try to squeeze her back in the studio before that, but if not, she's welcome to call every week and talk about it. Tell us a little bit about what's been going on with you, Brent, and tell us about the Artists in the Plus.
Yes, well, Artists in the Plus has been a really, really exciting new adventure for me. Artists in the Plus is a group on Google Plus, and if you're not familiar with Google Plus, it's a pretty fantastic way, and it's a pretty cool way to get another social networking, I guess network, for lack of a better word. But but it's let's just say it's a cooler version of Skype, where you can Skype with multiple people for free via Google. So if you have a Gmail account, you can have a Google Plus account. Very easy. So what a gentleman whose name is John Voschel created Artists in the Plus about a year and a half ago. And really the whole purpose of creating Artists in the Plus was to help independent artists gain visibility without being charged or, you know, anything like that. It was truly for the love of independent artists. So we started having hangouts, and basically what they were is they were, you know, concerts and, you know, shows with a group of people that could be a part of the show and hang out, just like, you know, on Swoop's World, where people can chat, you know, sort of the same idea, but you can see, you know, the little boxes of people, yeah, you know, hanging out while the artist is singing. This turned into the first year, last year, around this time, we had the first festival, music festival. It went on for about 2 days. I think it was like 40 hours
right,
of straight music from all over the world. So anywhere from Europe to Australia to the U.S., all over the world. And within a year since then, he went from having 500,000 followers to over a million, or close to a million and a half. So we're at 1.4 million followers on Artists in the Plus.
Nice.
Which has created, obviously, a lot of attention to a lot of different people across the board in the music world and just business world generally. We're one of the top music sites in the world at this point, and it has just grown to be this phenomenal thing. And again, the whole idea of the free concept for the artist to be able to promote for free is still the same.
Yeah.
So this year, because of the, you know, the attention that Arts in the Plus has received, and the really, really good and strong followership that we've gained, the Village recording studios in LA, West LA, has decided to host the music festival And Artists in the Plus has invited 28 artists from LA to perform at the Village.
Right.
This is only part of the festival. The rest of the festival is taking place. There's a bar in Norway that's hosting a few artists there. And there's a bar in North Carolina, or a bar or a studio, I'm not sure, in North Carolina that's hosting about 6 artists. And the rest of the artists are going to be streaming and performing live from their homes or their home studios or whatever the case may be.
Right. This is a 2-day festival, correct?
This is a 3-day festival. So it starts September 27th and it goes through September 29th.
Wow. And you're going to be performing all 3 days?
I will be performing actually on the Saturday, so the 28th.
Uh-huh. How did you...
I'll be performing at 2:30 p.m.
2:30 on Saturday the 28th. How did you get connected with this?
You know, I had a couple friends that had performed in some of the hangouts at Artists in the Plus, and you know, I connected with John, who's the CEO, and we just created a really nice friendship and business partnership, and it's been really, really good. So it was just through, again, networking with other artists that were part of this already, and it's pretty much grown from there a lot.
Well, I imagine the first time he heard you sing, it was a done deal, because if you haven't heard Brent Michelle sing, you're missing out. And actually, we're going to play one later, so you can get a taste of what you can hear on the 28th. Then all they have to do is tune in, right? There's nothing to pay or anything, to just click on the
nothing to pay. Yep, you just click on it's. If you go to www.artistintheplus.com, you can find all our information, our links, and you know, our Facebook and all that stuff. Obviously, our biggest following is on Google Plus. But. We're all over every social network, and artistintheplus.com is, you know, obviously, just like everybody else, the website is sort of your central location. You can stream in live, you can watch, you can comment. There's going to be some cool contests and some cool giveaways that I'm not allowed to say just yet, but we're going to have some cool stuff going on. So it's definitely a chance for you to tune in and see, you know, artists from all over the world. I mean, I'm performing at 2 or 2:30, and then Myrna, who's in Norway, is performing right after me, and, you know, it's like 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock there, whatever it is. You know, so it's a really cool concept. It's a very cool concept. It's something new. You know, Val Garay, who's a producer who's produced such names as Liv Ronstadt, he's now involved in this whole thing, and he's having a contest with the artists that are part of Artists in the Plus, and basically the winner of the contest via voting is going to win to be able to record a song with Val in the studio in LA. Some really, really cool things are happening, and we just want to get the word out there, and Swoop, I really appreciate the opportunity to do so.
Oh, absolutely, Brent Michelle, and you know what, if you want to call in next week, if you want to come to the studio, like I said in the email, we'll get you in, and we'll get you on, and we'll help you promote the hell out of this, and it's always a great chance. An opportunity to talk to you. We love it.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's just I'm super excited, and the whole Artists in the Plus team is very excited about this. This is like growing by the second. I mean, we're talking about 100,000 fans a week. It's just ridiculous, and it's true, and you could check it out. I mean, it's really, really cool, and I'm honored to be a part of it, and all the artists are just so talented, and you know, but it's a cool thing to see. It's a really cool thing to see, and it's very focused on independent artists, and that's really nice. I mean, just like you guys do, and just like, you know, you bring, you know, you let me and John and the Wicked Saints and everybody, you know, come aboard, and you know, we really appreciate that as independent artists. So,
oh, we love independent artists.
Thank you, guys.
I love what you're doing. And one real quick, I know you're here to promote Artists in the Plus, but I would be remiss if I didn't ask you to go ahead and put out your own information out there for people to find you, your website, and all that kind of cool stuff also.
Absolutely. So my name again is Brent Michelle. You can find me on brentmichelle.com. The I think the best way to connect with me is facebook.com/ Brett Michelle Music. That's really where I update everything, where I keep my events and my shows. I've got a show coming up next Wednesday, the 18th. It's in Culver City. It's in a little bar called 77 Lounge. And it's sponsored by Sapporo, actually. So there's going to be a bunch of Sapporo specials. Yeah, some good stuff. So so there's going to be Sapporo specials all night and giveaways. And apparently the Sapporo girls are going to be there for whatever that means.
Whatever gets them in the door.
Yeah, whatever gets... Hey, listen, like, I'm not going to complain if, like, some really... good-looking girl serving you a drink. You know.
It's all good. thanks a lot, Brett Michelle. And we'll talk during the week, and we'll see what else we can do for you, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you guys so much. Have a great night.
All right, you too.
Good luck.
We'll take a quick break, thanks. And we're going to listen to Brett Michelle, and we'll be back after this.
Hey, I'm sorry, it's me.
Let me call you right back.
I didn't mean to hang up.
Right.
Okay, no problem.
Imagine no longer being tied down to your computer, but having the freedom to take live talk radio with you anywhere you go. TalkStream Live introduces our first ever iPhone application. The talk shows you follow now follow you.
And your iPhone is now the fastest and easiest way to stay connected to the best talk radio on the internet. Let TalkStream Live transform the way you listen to radio. Listen to live talk shows 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Mobile talk radio from TalkStream Live. Now available in the iTunes App Store.
And now we have an 8-year-old on the line. Welcome to Our World Today. What's your question?
Our continents make up 29% of the Earth's surface, meaning that 71% is comprised of water. Man automatically adapts to environmental conditions. So why do I need to take swimming lessons?
Are you ready for kids who eat healthy? Good nutrition can lead to great things. To find out how a healthy lifestyle can help your child succeed, go to mypyramid.gov. Brought to you by the Ad Council and USDA.
You're listening to the Talk Story Radio Network.
This is Carrie Wade, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
Easy to constant spin. I ask as I begin to once again feel unsettled in my skin.
You know that sound? It's time for sports with T-Bone's Timeout. Or as we say it here, it's T-Bone's Timeout.
Well, hello there. Another beautiful night here in the studio. It's actually kind of cooled off these last few days.
It's been nice.
I am not swamp nuts in here tonight. I've actually been able to sleep the last couple nights. Life is good here in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Especially in Studio B when the beer flows like wine and the women instinctively flock like the salmon of Capistrano. I realize everything that's wrong with what I just said.
And it's all right, man.
And I've got a movie for you to watch. My goodness, we've got college football, we've got NFL football, we've got pennant races coming down to the wire in Major League Baseball. Yeah. Most of them aren't that exciting, but there are a couple that are still
the wild cards are more exciting than anything
else. Yes, the wild card, and even that is really starting to boil down to a couple of divisions here, but that's okay.
Yeah.
The American League, a little more suspense in terms of the wild card right now than the National League. But baseball, we've got about three weeks. We have 18 to 21 games of regular season baseball left, depending on your team that you choose to follow. And let's start at the top of the National League West with the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Los Angeles!
Do we have an update on the score? They were losing 3-0 to Arizona last I saw, but that has not meant much of anything to them as of late.
For sure.
The Dodgers, they have not clinched the division yet. They have a magic number that is, I don't know, probably single digits by now.
Yeah, it's definitely, it's either 8 or 6.
And
because they won last night, I don't know.
The Dodgers are 13 games up on the Diamondbacks.
They're losing 4-1 right
four
now.
4-1, okay. The Diamondbacks are .500 right now. They're 72-72. I just want to remind everybody of my one prediction in terms of Major League Baseball before the season started.
Oh my God, you sound like a past guest.
My prediction was that the San Diego Padres would finish second in the NL West. And they are currently in third and 6 games behind the Diamondbacks. Now, granted, third, fourth, and last in the NL West are separated by a game in total. But I'm liking my chances for my prediction to be at least close to correct there. I did also predict that another California team would win the division. I did not choose a team, at least on the radar. And I'm really, you know what? I couldn't be happier with the way that division looks right now. I mean, I could be a little happier, but just seeing the words San Francisco at the bottom of the division.
That's a good thing.
Especially a year after they won the something. It's just beautiful.
That is definitely beautiful. I'm with you.
All of the Giants fans that I know have switched over to being 49er fans pretty early this season.
You know,
they weren't 49er
sometimes.
Fans until 3 weeks before the regular football season ended last year, and now they are very much 49er fans this time. So that's a beautiful, beautiful thing there.
Definitely.
In the NL East, Atlanta, if they don't clinch it within the next week, I will be surprised. Washington, a little bit resurgent. They're not quite fumbling as badly as they were earlier in the year.
Oh my God, they were horrible in the first
half. They were atrocious in the first half. The Phillies, in the middle of that division just by virtue of the fact that the Mets and the Marlins get to play in Division 2. The Marlins, however, do not have the worst record in baseball. They don't even have the worst record. Well, yeah, they do have the worst record in the National League. But they don't have the worst record in baseball. And the division in the National League where all of the playoff drama is going to come from is the NL Central.
Yeah.
Where the Pittsburgh Pirates clinched their first non-losing season in 21 years.
That is crazy, huh?
This last week. The Pirates
I'm pulling for them. I mean, yeah. If they play against the Dodgers, I'll obviously cheer for the Dodgers. But they're my second team this year, man. I just because it's been so long.
Mm-hmm. The Pirates, at 84-61, find themselves a game behind the St. Louis Cardinals. And Cincinnati...
And aren't they playing each other?
Or they're about to play
each other.
Pittsburgh, I think, just...
Look at that
differential between St. Louis and Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's pretty beastly right
there. Yeah.
The Cardinals have scored 153 more runs than they've given up.
But they're only one game ahead.
Yep.
So that tells you how important that stat is.
Yeah, that is just
it's important, but it's not the most important
it's
stat.
You being a numbers guy, you know how it is. It's one of those stats that's just fun to look at.
Uh-huh.
But really the meaning behind it is the importance of it. It's not always that great.
Yeah. Third in that division is the other team vying for a playoff spot still, the Cincinnati Reds. They're three games back. And for the last several weeks, this has been the case. But if the playoffs started tomorrow, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati would be your two wild card teams out of the National League. And they would be squaring off in a one-game playoff to see who got the privilege of facing the Braves or the Dodgers. So the NL Central could be sending three teams to the playoffs this year. Which would be a first in Major League Baseball. We've seen NFL divisions send three teams to the playoffs before. But this new two wild card phenomenon in Major League Baseball, not quite sure how I feel about it yet. But the whole one game playoff thing.
Seemed good on paper.
You might as well just
a lot of stuff seems good on paper.
Here's why it seems good on paper is because they make more money off of this than they do off of a coin flip, which is all this is.
Yeah.
It's a glorified coin flip.
Well, but the
I
other
like
thing
how you
too
always
is
break things down to just the basics.
Well, the other thing to consider, the reason it looked good on paper was because they weren't thinking three teams would come out of one division.
Well,
they were thinking there'd be, it'd be a little more even. And in the National League, that's been thrown. But it is true in the American League.
In the American League, yes.
We have
some more drama. We have teams.
I mean, the Yankees by now would have been out of it.
Yes.
Right? The Yankees wouldn't even be a team worth considering, but now because there's
second there. Look at the AL.
They're
still in a good position.
The Yankees
there.
Find themselves, I believe they are.
They got a wild card spot.
Four and a half.
Yeah, but they're a long shot
back.
If there's only one wild card. But now that there's two, they have a much better chance.
They're in there with even one wild card.
Yeah. Not
it's
really.
A
There's
tougher.
Six or
if
something like
if
that.
If we're in a pre,
and I'm not bagging on the Yankees.
You were bagging.
No,
on
no, no. I just picked because they were the first team I saw. Because Tampa's obviously closer
by a half a game.
Right. Well, no, by a full game according to this.
Oh yeah, full game.
But I mean, the point. I mean, I could say the same thing about Cleveland, Kansas City. There's
well,
two,
you should have said Cleveland, Kansas City. But
the
you,
teams.
You talk
the
about
teams
my
that
Bronx
are
bombers like
the
that.
Teams that are alive.
I'm
going to
get a little offended. I'm just saying.
So my point, though, that I was trying to make was that in the American League East or in the American League in general, that second wild
there
card
are a lot more
has
dogs
worked out.
Still
yeah,
in
yeah.
The hunt. Yeah.
Which was the idea
because
on paper.
The, because in the East, you've got Tampa
so
Bay.
The National League has screwed that up. The National League Central, specifically, has really kind of screwed
well,
this up.
Honestly, I think that the East and the West have been the ones who've screwed
well,
it up.
Well, yeah, it depends how you look at it. But yeah.
But in the AL East, you've got Boston on top with the most victories in baseball. They're sitting at 89-58.
Yeah.
Tampa Bay, New York, and Baltimore in a very tight bunch there in the middle. Everywhere from 9.5 games back with Tampa Bay to 11 games back for Baltimore. All those teams still in the race for at least a wild card spot.
Yeah, yeah.
In the West, you've got Oakland at 84-61, and then Texas, three games behind them. Texas has the top spot in the wild card pecking order as of right now. But then in the Central, don't look now, because you've got Cleveland and Kansas City, who are sitting at 77 and 68 and 69 losses, respectively. And all six of these teams are gunning for...
It all depends on who finishes, how they finish.
Yeah.
I mean, that second wild card really makes the American League a lot more exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
As a whole league.
And
you know?
I think most of the drama comes from the East and the Central, because in the West, Oakland and Texas, as long as neither of them totally screws the pooch, those teams are looking at joining the playoff party
at
the end of the regular season. In the Central and the East, they have a lot more to fight for just for the opportunity to have a seat at the table. So, granted, if Oakland or Texas pulls an Angels and decides to just rest on their laurels, they could play themselves right out of the deal. They could go all New York Mets circa most of the last decade. but we've got some good playoff races heating up. Major League Baseball is about to get fun, even for people who don't like baseball. And if you really don't like baseball, then you're really not going to want to come over to my house, because we're going to be watching a lot of it.
Yeah.
Courtesy of MLB TV, the best.
And do you have the? Do you have the? When did those playoffs take place between the wild card? Do you know?
Let me see here. The one game wild card.
Say what you will. A one game playoff in baseball is just about.
It's
the most exciting thing.
It is.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's the ultimate sudden death.
It is. And we just don't have that in baseball all that often.
Well, the thing is most of the sport, football's kind of gone away from the sudden death, right? As far as like, you know, in scoring in a game and stuff like that. So, this one day playoff is the ultimate like sudden death thing, man. Shout out to those listening to us on TalkStream Live. Thanks for the props, because we are sitting pretty up at the top of the charts here. We like that.
Yeah.
Well,
besides being October,
having trouble. It will not be in October, I don't believe.
Oh, really?
Actually, no. We're on the 11th now, and there's about 20 games left, so it'll be the very first week of October. But let's see.
I thought maybe you had it.
I don't. You're giving me way too much.
Sorry,
credit.
Man. Sorry.
You are giving me entirely too much credit. So
it'll be soon, though. Look for it in your local TV listings.
Yes. Or check back next week here on Swoops World.
Because then we'll hopefully know a whole lot more.
And we'll have a clearer picture still. And we'll even be able to tell you when those wild card one game winner take some shenanigans start. So it'll be
good stuff.
Fun thing to keep track of here in studio and out there in internet land, wherever you may be. Anybody watch any football this weekend?
Yes, indeed.
Yeah?
Yes.
Did you? Anybody watch any football last Thursday night?
This is like Thursday night.
Thursday night,
Denver
NFL.
Oh yeah, man!
Opener.
17 pass. Yeah,
Denver
I watched that
Broncos
game. That was a great
hosted
game.
The defending world champion for the next 15-16 weeks, Baltimore Ravens. You know, the Ravens really got dicked over on this whole deal. All right.
How so?
Let me tell you how so. Let me explain how
speaks
the Ravens
got screwed.
Because for the last 5 or 6 years, the NFL has done this Thursday night opener where the defending Super Bowl champion gets to play the opening game at home against another highly competitive, you know, playoff contender type team. A big game to get things started on a fun, exciting note with some big marquee players and all that good hootie-doo. Notice I said at home.
Mm-hmm.
The Baltimore Ravens share a parking lot with Camden Yards, Oriole Park at Camden Yards, where the Baltimore Orioles are currently trying to fit their way into the playoffs. And the Orioles were at home last week.
What we call it scheduling conflict.
Now, major professional sports leagues that have, I mean, cities that have teams in multiple leagues where there is schedule overlap tend to, you know, normally the schedules are set several months to even a year in advance, and they try to make sure that the teams are playing home and away, or, you know, whatever, where there aren't going to be any conflicts. Now, the NFL said to Baltimore Orioles owner / dictator Peter Angelos, the same guy who fought tooth and nail to keep the Montreal Expos from moving to Washington, D.C. because he didn't want them infringing on his television market.
You can't blame him. I lived in D.C. for 3 years, and I can't tell you how many all Orioles games I watched.
Uh-huh.
Now, this is back before cable was, like, cheap,
uh-huh.
You know, and I could not afford cable.
So I got to see
a lot of Orioles games. Mm-hmm. Not that I wanted to watch them, but that if I wanted to watch baseball, was the only baseball to watch. So I don't blame him for that. Well, I mean, I don't care very much, but I can see why he fought.
I don't blame him for that. I blame him for this, though, because the NFL came to Peter Angelos and said, we would like to propose that you move your home series on the week of the NFL opening extravaganza to an away series and trade that for another home series in a couple weeks. Or a few weeks before. Either way. Peter Angelos said no.
Negative.
Now, was Major League Baseball willing to, like,
absolutely,
cooperate?
Oh, they've really? Done this. They've done this before. Where
I mean, that's just
they
not
have
cool.
done. And the thing is that the commissioner and anybody else in Major League Baseball cannot force this change upon the
right.
Orioles or any other franchise.
But they can
after.
Kill it if they don't like it sometimes, and sometimes
yeah,
they do that.
They
so
can.
If Major League Baseball was okay
no, but
with
they,
it.
They were willing to play ball because this sort of thing has happened.
That's not
where,
cool.
Where, and it happens with, I mean, football has done this
yeah,
in
yeah.
the case of the Major League Baseball playoffs starting in
yeah.
October. Football has moved home games to
sure.
away games and things like that.
Padres and the Chargers
yep,
were
because,
back in the
and
day, and A's and the
mm-hmm.
old Raiders.
Yeah.
yeah,
and the funny thing, we you know, I think that the idea of all these baseball-only and football-only stadiums seemed to me like yeah, the only real big plus to them, other than some pretty architecture, is that theoretically, you should be able to host two home games at the same time. And apparently that's not the case, at least in Baltimore. So,
like
and, you know,
up.
Granted,
dude,
these games
don't
require...
Don't the Kings and the Lakers and the Clippers play
they
the
play
same
games
day?
On the same day
yeah.
in the same building, but they're staggered out, you know. I think that this is definitely a cop-out. This is... I haven't ever really had a lot of respect for the guy, at least since...
Yeah.
Everybody else in baseball was trying to fix the situation that we had in Montreal.
Right.
And he was just, like, throwing a Yosemite
yeah.
Sam hissy fit about it. But, you know, he's trying to protect his interests. That's fine. That one, I understood. This one, I don't understand.
Yeah, that doesn't make any
sense.
I'm with you there 100%.
But anyway, the Ravens, instead of getting to host the opener on a Thursday night in a bizarre practice week and all that stuff and all the pomp and fanfare and everything... They, instead of getting home field advantage, get to go to the to play against the team that has the most decided home field advantage of anybody in
for
the
sure,
NFL,
yeah.
which is the Denver Broncos. So you go from playing in a swamp in Baltimore to playing at 5,500 feet in Denver against a team that's conditioned in it all summer and all spring and summer long. You know, the Ravens already had an uphill climb this season with all the personnel changes. And that was before they had to go 5,500 feet up in the air. So
here's the thing, man. There's at least, what, 8-9 teams who play there every year?
There's at least 8.
Yeah. So suck it up, bitches.
Well, I don't have a problem with
show
them
up about 3
there,
days early and get acclimated.
I just think that, you know, they weren't afforded the same courtesy as other Super Bowl champions.
Yeah.
In their opening game. I don't think that, you know, you should be expecting or leaning on that. You should go
but
out and play
you know that you know that a year in advance, so pretty much, right? They didn't make this switch the last second.
They
right?
make these switches like in February or March.
Right.
So yeah, they've known for
yeah.
6 months.
I got no crocodile tears for him, man.
Well, it didn't do any good either way because Peyton Manning and the Broncos...
They put on a clinic, man.
They absolutely dismantled the Ravens. Now, granted, it was 17-14 Baltimore at halftime.
Mm-hmm.
And in the second half... boy, I don't know how to describe that.
a clinic.
Peyton Manning threw 7 touchdown passes in the game. And that came in 3 quarters because in the first quarter, the Broncos did not score any points. But the big story, I think, has to be Denver's defense. Ray Rice had 12 carries for 36 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Flacco, the highest paid quarterback, I believe, in the NFL, after his most recent deal, after winning the Super Bowl,
right.
completed just over 50% of his passes. He did throw for 360 yards and a couple touchdowns, but anybody that watched the Sunday game between San Francisco and Green Bay can tell you how much Joe Flacco is missing Anquan Boldin right now. Because Colin Kaepernick and Anquan Boldin looked like Peyton Manning and Reggie Wayne. Or Peyton Manning and Marvin Harrison even. I mean, those guys, Anquan Boldin's a stud. And that's probably the biggest single personnel loss for the Ravens, and I'm saying that even in the face of the fact that Ray Lewis just retired. I think that The Ravens defense, despite getting pantsed in Denver on Thursday night, is going to be okay, especially in their division.
Well, every time his name is mentioned, I have to mention this, that Ray Lewis had the best ever entry onto a sports stadium each week. And you know what? Like I said, I wasn't a big, huge Ray Lewis fan, but I did enjoy watching him enter a stadium.
He's an entertainer.
He's sports entertainment, man.
Yeah. Here he looks good in a white suit, too.
I haven't seen it.
You're working at Grabber a little bit, but other than that, it's all right, man.
No, whatever. You guys ever watch the Red Zone channel?
No.
On Sundays, where they just jump between all the games, depending on where there's a game where a team's about to score, they just cut to that.
I saw that on in the gym, but I've never sat down and really watched it.
It is fascinating and disorienting and freaking awesome at the same time. The first time you watch it, it confuses the crap out of you because you don't sit and watch a game and get the rhythm of a drive and feel like the momentum going back and forth between the two teams. It's like a nonstop live highlight. So instead of, like, we've all had that night where we just couldn't pry ourselves off the couch or even move to change the channel, and we were watching ESPN so long that SportsCenter is on a loop now and
it's repeating itself.
And that just sucks. But this doesn't happen with the Red Zone channel. Because there's always, especially on Sunday morning, there were 10 games on Sunday morning. So, between the 10 games, it was, I mean, like, have you ever played with the remote control where you're trying to bounce back and forth between several games?
Have I ever?
Trying to get, and sometimes you're just on a hot streak, like, sometimes you're just killing it. Like, you get the, you flip it right at the right time, and you're just going back and forth, and you're nailing it, and then there's those days where you get there, and it's like, oh, they just scored. Oh, this is a commercial. It's like,
that's the great thing about DVR, though, man.
Yeah.
Rewind.
But the Red Zone channel is like that when you're on a friggin' remote control hot streak all the time. And it's really fun if you don't, like, if you like fantasy football and you don't really care who's playing. Like, the first week, I didn't care on Sunday who won. I just wanted to watch as much of it as I could. And it was perfect because, like, they were just showing all the highlights as they're happening. It's really entertaining stuff.
So the Red Zone channel's got your seal of approval. Yeah, I mean, you've
stamped. I like it.
I was watching T-Bone, seal of approval.
And I, you know, the first time I watched it, it was like, oh, it almost gave me a headache. But after you, like, know what you're in for, it's cool. We were watching it. I was watching it with my friends. One of my buddies from high school, I was watching it at his house, and his grandpa was watching with us. And we said, oh, what do you think of this Red Zone deal? He's like, I hate it. Can you just watch one game, please? Try it again next week. You might feel differently next week.
So you get, like, you get up-to-the-minute highlight reels. Yeah. I mean, if somebody scores, somebody makes a big play, a good hit.
Because they've got a control room where they've got all the games on monitors in front of them. And anytime there's, like, anytime there's a team who's getting close down towards the red zone or, I mean,
see,
if somebody just hit a big play, they'll go back.
I didn't realize that was nonstop. It was on in the gym when I was watching for a little bit. And I saw a couple of highlights, and like boom, 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 and it was on the Red Zone channel. But I didn't realize that that's entirely what it is during the thing.
Yeah, on Sundays, that is the deal. It's a good time. If you have ADD or, you know, whatever all else. So, the Patriots, one of several teams to escape with a victory they probably shouldn't have had on Sunday. The Patriots kick a last-second field goal to beat the Bills. As if it could get worse to be a Bills fan.
That was like no time left, man. Yeah. It was just like,
and you could see it. You know, you could see it a mile away. It's like, oh, Patriots got the ball back with 3 minutes. Okay, you know how this one ends.
Too much time. Way too much time.
There were a lot of good games this Sunday, though. The Falcons Saints was probably the biggest game of the morning games. That was an entertaining one. The Raiders actually played pretty well. The Raider game and the Charger game
were almost identical.
Well, in terms of it being too good to be true, that is the case.
And as I tweeted, the Raiders'
collapse wasn't nearly as epic.
No, but they are consistent. And I'm no longer let down when they lose. I've come to expect it.
When I watched the second half of the Chargers game on Monday night, because that's really all I saw was the second half, I was exhausted from work anyway, so I'm just laying down on the couch. And as I could see the snowball getting bigger and bigger and bigger, I just went to sleep. And I woke up just in time to see the field goal go through the uprights, and I just said...
And the zeros on the... Yeah.
And, you know, that...
But the disappointment's gone, right? I mean,
A little bit. Yeah. I mean, I didn't have high expectations for them this year. I tell you who was probably the most disappointed of anybody on Sunday was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because they managed to lead the Jets for the entire game until, I mean, Grant, I think they were down 2-0 for a few minutes.
Got to play 60 minutes of ball, man.
Well, there were three safeties on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Three separate games.
There was a, what was it, the one score was the first time they've had that score ever in NFL history.
It was a weird score. I know what you're talking about, too. I saw it, and I was like, that 28 is...
28-2.
The Chiefs
over the Jaguars.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, that is the weirdest score I've ever seen.
That one was 2-0 for a while. The Steelers were up 2-0 over the Titans for a while. And I believe the Jets at one point were up 2-0 on the Bucks for a little bit.
Didn't the Steelers get pummeled, though?
The Steelers got manhandled. Yeah. They ended up losing by a touchdown on paper.
Yeah, but... Roethlisberger, he had a rough day out.
That is a team that is definitely transitioning.
Rough day at work.
They are sort of in the same boat the Lakers are right now. But yeah, the Bucks, they were leading the Jets the whole time. The Jets are not a good team this year. They were starting a rookie quarterback, and he showed it. And yet, a couple of boneheaded plays and a really... really poorly timed penalty put the Jets in field position to kick a field goal, and they win 18-17. That bastard Rex Ryan gets a victory.
Say what you really feel, man. Don't hold back.
I think he looks creepy now that he's skinny.
It's really weird, huh? Like Al Roker.
Really weird. Yeah. Really weirds me out. I'll tell you, the team that I was most surprised at how flat they came out was Seattle. And I'm not just saying that because when I got my fantasy football team auto-drafted last week, I got Marshawn Lynch, who ran for 43 yards and no touchdowns.
Should have picked up Reggie Bush.
Should have. Even though both of his rushing touchdowns got taken away by instant replay, he still scored a touchdown receiving at 90-some yards rushing and 100-some yards receiving. But the Seahawks just eked out Carolina. Granted, at Carolina. It's the first, you know, first game, whatever. But 12-7 over the Panthers. If they hope to contend and really flex nuts in the division like they have shown promise for over the last year, they're going to have to do more with what they have than they did on Sunday.
What game was it where that fool had a clear pick six and he dropped the ball before he entered the end zone?
Oh, I saw the highlights on that.
Was that?
Was that the Denver game? That was the most foolish.
And yet you see it like once a year.
Yeah. Like, I mean, come on, dude. You're like usually you see a guy who's a yard out. This guy was, he dropped it about the 5 yard, he let go of it about the 5 yard line. And what are you doing?
It was the Denver game.
Yeah.
They ended up scoring anyway. Later.
Yeah, they did. They did. Yeah. But it ended up not being costly. But it was just stupid. Foolish.
Yeah, because I think they got a turnover or something. Because when he dropped it, it rolled out of the end zone, so they got a touchback. And then they ended up getting points out of it later. Yeah. Anyway. But, these guys, it's like one of those Leon Lett moments, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just amazing that guys still do it.
And he's posing.
Pros, dude. Like, he's posing. When you see kids doing it, you're like,
you're 12.
You're 12. Yeah. We expect that from you.
You are a grown man who's getting a paycheck to do this.
Yes.
You know why, man? Intent on winning.
Because he needs it. You have to learn how to act like you've been there before.
It's funny, you know, like, you watch college games and a guy makes a huge play that you don't expect to make a huge play. Like, a defensive guy scores a touchdown and you say, oh, he's getting laid tonight. Well, when you do that, you are not getting laid tonight.
Not unless you're paying for it.
Well, I guarantee you he got fined.
He was at home.
By his team following.
Hell yeah.
So, The Sunday games, pretty entertaining. The two afternoon games, the Cardinals-Rams, I don't know if anybody gave a crap about that one. But
definitely not.
The Packers and the 49ers.
You got to, you know, one thing about the Cardinals game is, even though they lost, it's good to see old Carson Palmer out there looking good.
Yeah, you know, the guy has clearly got some mileage left on the tires. Yeah. And Oakland was a nice segue back. It's almost like real football.
Ouch.
But you know what I'm saying.
Oh, believe me, I know.
It's like Major League pitchers going down to Petco. Yeah. Yeah. See, I still got some game.
It's a teaser.
Somebody pay me a real paycheck.
But you know what? I got to say that Palmer's replacement in Oakland did not play that poorly. Terrell Pryor, all in all, had a pretty decent game. But the big game of the weekend was definitely taking place up at Candlestick Park, and that was a rematch of a playoff game from back in January when the Packers lost to the 49ers.
I thought Green Bay was good in that thing. They did not look good at all.
You know, I was not unimpressed with Green Bay. I felt like their defense played much better than they did in the playoffs back in January. Their offense, I mean, they still can't establish a running game. And the 49ers defense isn't necessarily who you want to really find your identity against for the very first time. But the Packers still don't have a running game. Eddie Lacy, their leading rusher for the day, had 41 yards and a touchdown and a fumble that was a major, major momentum killer. But the Packers came in there thinking that their big goal for the day was to stop the zone read and the read option stuff from Kaepernick running the ball. And so he just said, fine, I'll run the ball as much as I need to, but I'm going to throw for 400 yards instead. And Kaepernick, he could find Anquan Boldin anywhere on the field with his eyes closed or whatever. It was not, it was like they were telekinetically, I don't know, it was impressive. And when you've got, the funny thing is they had two receivers out on IR, Crabtree and off the top of my head, the other guy is who's out, but Kaepernick could just connect with Boldin and Vernon Davis at will against the Packers defense, and that's a tough combination to fight against when the quarterback is also a threat to tuck the ball and run, and when you're stupid enough to tackle him out of bounds and give him extra, you know, extra chances as well.
Did my boy Clay Matthews almost start a riot out there?
Yeah. And he got really, they were talking on, you know, Mike Pereira, the Fox former NFL referee guy who's like the rules analyst dude. He was talking about how the refs mishandled the way the penalties should have been enforced on the field because they called offsetting fouls and they were both dead ball fouls after the play, so the result of the play should have counted, and so it should have been fourth down and two. Where he went out of bounds, and then the two penalties should have offset. Instead, they called offsetting fouls as though it was during the play, and it was a do-over. So they gave him third and six again. But I honestly didn't see anybody from the 49ers do anything bad on the tackle or guard. The big offensive lineman for San Francisco, Staley, that came up and got in Clay Matthews' face after Matthews did the cheap tackle out of bounds on Kaepernick.
It was
a cheap tackle.
Come on.
No.
He hadn't committed to out of bounds.
Come on. I love a good cheap shot on a quarterback, and this was definitely a good cheap shot on a quarterback. I mean, other than the fact that I picked San Francisco to win in our Swoops World picks, I didn't have a dog in this hunt. I didn't care. But that was definitely a cheap one. And when the big offensive lineman came up and got in his face, he didn't push Clay Matthews. He didn't punch Clay Matthews. I'm sure he said some really choice words to him. But he didn't do anything other than get in between him and Kaepernick and say, don't you touch my quarterback again, or something along those lines. And Clay Matthews decides, you know, I always
Clay's
love,
a tough son of a gun, man.
Yeah, but when you take your hand, open or closed, and swing it at a dude who is wearing a helmet.
Well, that's not the brightest thing to do.
Yeah, it's just, that's dumber than a bag of hammers. But I thought that the Packers were the ones who got off easy on that, because if I were refereeing that game, I would have just called one flag and it would have been on Matthews, and it would have been first and goal from the one. So, I don't know. Either way, I mean, it didn't end up changing the game outcome, because what happened in the, was it the second quarter? And the Packers still had plenty of chances to change their fate from that point forward, and didn't so much work out. I tell you who would really like to change his fate is Eli Manning. The Giants and the Cowboys played the Sunday night game, and I purposely switched my fantasy football defense to the Giants, because I thought, oh, they're playing the Cowboys. Romo's good for at least three picks, right? Well, Romo only threw one pick, and Eli threw four, two of which I believe went for touchdowns.
Wow.
At least one. The backbreaker was a pick for a touchdown, but none of his interceptions that I saw were his fault. They were all off of the receivers. It was just ugly. Well, the very last one, the running back out of the backfield turned, and he wasn't expecting the ball yet, and he just kind of stuck his hand out. And he hit it with his hand, but he hit it right into the breadbasket of the defender. Which was an impressive interception return for a touchdown. I will give him that. But the most impressive interception return for a touchdown of the weekend, hands down, has to be Brian Cushing.
Man. Another SC boy looking good.
Linebacker for the Houston Texans out of USC, you know, and hopefully he's done getting suspended for performance enhancing.
He's got a new contract, man. Stuff. He's good, man. Yeah. He's all right.
The Texans, Wade Phillips designed and called the absolute perfect scheme and blitz for this one particular play. It was a third down, and the Chargers were already reeling. And they came with a blitz to the short side. And Rivers sees the blitz, and he's got an immediate check off that blitz, which is to just dump it out to the back,
He read that like...
which was Danny Woodhead. Well, it wasn't even just that he read it. It was that was the exact way that this whole stunt was designed. It was drawn up for the backside linebacker to immediately sprint to where the outlet was going to be, because Wade Phillips knew that when we send this blitz from this side, he's immediately going to throw to where the blitz came from, and you're going to sprint your ass right to that exact spot. And I mean, the timing was, if it was a quarter of a step, not a quarter of a second, a quarter of a step short, that he doesn't even touch the ball. I mean, he dives, and I don't even know how he caught it still.
I'm amazed that he was able to bounce back up.
Incredible
catch.
Danny Woodhead's just standing there with his dick in his hand, like, the ball will get here any minute now. I know it'll get here. It's coming. Here it comes. And Cushing makes this ridiculous diving catch and just rolls over, pops up, and he's in the end zone before anybody in white knew what hit him. I mean, very, very impressive athletic play, but I mean, an even more brilliant call. I mean, if you like football, you had to like that, even that if was, it was your team getting totally pwned. The other Monday night game, we already talked about it before the show, or maybe during the break. I don't know when we talked about it, but we all thought that the Washington Redskins would be able to use their experience and having a year of the system under their belts to handle Michael Vick and Chip Kelly's Eagles. That was not the case. The Eagles got a fast start, and that'll happen when you take 4 seconds off between plays. And Chip Kelly looks good in green with feathers. Doesn't matter if it's a bird of prey or just a regular old waterfowl. The Eagles get a win in his first game as head coach in the early Monday night game.
Their defense kind of sucked in the second half, though.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's a tough offense to defend.
Well, it's like they got that big lead, and then they just kind of tried to coast the rest of the way out.
In an opening game, that is definitely a danger. You're talking about already not being in game shape yet. No matter how much these guys train during the offseason and stuff like that, the first game, you still see guys on both sidelines with cramps and all that stuff. And that's just the trouble of that opener. And guys aren't battle-tested yet. They're not ready to hold on to a lead.
And so there's the mental and emotional letdowns that go along with it. So let's refill our beverages.
Yeah, yeah.
Hear some cool music from Swoop Thrill, and then we'll come back and talk some college football.
Absolutely.
Sounds good.
You listen to Swoop Thrill on Talkstar Radio Network, as well as AM 1670 Dewberry Jam Community Radio out of San Antonio, Texas. We're going to take a quick break. Listen to the Enablers, the band of Enablers, who will be our guest next week. This is called Hell in a Good Way. Back after this.
Help us. what day it is. Oh, come on. I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
Every day, I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine.
Hump day.
Every day, I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. Every day, I wake up at 5 to give Dad his medicine. At 6, I make his breakfast. At 7, I shower. Every day, I wake up at 5.
For those caring for a loved one, we hear you. That's why AARP created a community to help us better care for ourselves and the ones we love. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every 6 Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Talk Story Radio.
Hello, this is Normandy Wilson, and you're listening to Swoop's World.
I don't know what else you got going on, but no one pays for sure. You got me thinking about what it is.
Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike. What day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Hump day here at Swoop's World. Back live on the Talk Story Radio Network, as well as AM 1670, Dewberry Jam Community Radio, right in the middle of T-Bird's timeout.
Yes, we are. We've covered a bit of Major League Baseball. We covered the opening weekend of the NFL. Let me just tell you about one thing coming up this weekend for the NFL, and it's actually not even the weekend. It'll be come Monday, and that will be a division showdown between two teams that lost their openers, the Steelers and the Bengals, on Monday night in Cincinnati. That's a game that's going to leave a lot of people bruised and bloodied, and that's about the only good thing you can say about the AFC North. So, if you have cable, enjoy. If you don't, find a place to enjoy it. Been watching any college games this weekend?
Yeah. But you know, here's the thing, man.
You watched that game on Saturday evening?
Yes, I did. And I said it here live, so I guess I really shouldn't even bitch about it. I said I'm almost willing to be to see the Trojans have a bad season, so Lane could be on his way out. And after that performance Saturday night, I think Lane's on his way out. Which brings a smile to my face and warms my heart. Just to
I did see, because I have a lot of friends who have gone to other schools in the Pac-12 conference. You know, folks from Arizona State and UCLA and Cal and others like that. And a lot of them united on Facebook on Sunday, liking this new page called Save Lane Kiffin.
Not. What is the guy, like one follower?
Well, it's got a lot of followers from fans of schools outside of UC. But yes, there were a couple of surprises over the weekend. None at the top of the rankings. Although, one of the two matchups between ranked teams, we had South Carolina, who was ranked 6th, go down at the hands of Georgia. Between the hedges, the Bulldogs took down the Gamecocks. Steve Spurrier, he just looked unhappy. And I'm all about that.
And the Bulldogs had lost the previous week,
right? They lost the week before to that other team from South Carolina, Clemson. So, Johnny Manziel.
Shout out to Stacey and Alma.
Hey, Stacey and Alma!
Who finally returned. They went MIA for the last couple of weeks. And
finally came up for air,
We were going to revoke their Swoop's World card, their membership card. But apparently they're back listening. So we'll just put them on probation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're on probation.
Yeah, like drop below a C average. So,
double secret.
Have to put them on probation.
Unlike the probation that Oklahoma State's about to be. They're the latest team to have not the NCAA, but a journalist drop a bombshell investigative report on them.
I'm about tired of these investigative
reviews. The bad part is that it almost always relies on some shady people who got kicked out for various reasons.
Yeah.
Coming back, like with the Ohio State thing, you had all the dirtbags that got kicked off the team coming back and saying, oh, well, all these guys were doing this and that and the other. With the Miami thing, same deal. Now with Oklahoma State, the former players who are being quoted as saying that other players were taking money and banging hookers or whatever, they're all guys who got kicked out for various reasons. And it's not to say that they aren't telling the truth. It's just to say that...
disgruntled employees.
Yeah, they have a serious chip on their shoulder, and their credibility is definitely easily called into question. But let's get back to the things that actually happened on the field. Turns out that Florida's offense was so bad that they lost to an unranked Miami team. Now, Florida's offense looked terrible the week before, and they got the benefit of the doubt for some reason. This week, they lose to Miami, who, like I said, was unranked. And Florida falls like 7 spots in the polls. Miami, who was unranked, jumps up to number 14 in the polls over a whole bunch of teams that, you know, beat better teams. Florida is not a good team. I don't care that they're in the SEC. I don't care that they were ranked 12th. They weren't that good. Their offense sucks, and it showed. But anyway, the SEC bias is actually helping the ACC right now, so that's cool. The other game between ranked teams, Notre Dame going up to the Big House to take on Michigan under the lights, the last time they will play during the regular season for the foreseeable future. And despite a startling lack of defense by both teams, actually that probably is the best possible outcome we could have had, because I could easily have seen this game being like 13-6. We didn't have that. We had a shootout, and Michigan once again gets the upper hand, makes Brady Hoke look a little bit prophetic after saying that Notre Dame was chickening out of this rivalry. Michigan wins 41-30 in one of the few bright spots for the Big Ten over the last couple years. A victory over a ranked team on national TV always helps the cause. What doesn't help your cause is being a ranked team, going and playing against an unranked independent in Provo, Utah, and getting your ass handed
to you.
Giving up the most yards and rushing yards in school history, much like what happened to the Texas Longhorns on Saturday. Texas gets waxed by the Stormin' Mormons in Utah, loses 40-21 to the Cougars, and it wasn't that close.
No hook 'em horns happened in that night.
There were no... the only way those horns were going was down. And on Sunday, Mack Brown, because he's a cowardly piece of crap CEO boardroom type,
rather than
take any responsibility.
You know, we have listeners in Texas, right?
Yeah, they're probably going to agree with me right now, because Mack Brown is not the answer to the question. The question of why the Longhorns are not winning the championships or anything like that right now. Mack Brown is not going to fix any of this, because he has no accountability. All he's going to do is fire another assistant coach, do some other... I mean, he's always going to say we're going to fix it, but he doesn't have the answers. He's got the most talented team in the Big 12 for like the 11th straight year, and what has it got them? He knows a lot more about football than I do, but I can tell you that he's not a good enough football coach to still occupy the office at the University of Texas. And as long as I'm with the folks who are saying save Lane Kiffin, save Mack Brown. Let him stay as long as he wants, because the Texas Longhorns will never be a championship team again with Mack Brown at the helm. And on Sunday, he fired the defensive coordinator, Manny Diaz, and promoted a guy, Greg Robinson, who was a former defensive coordinator at Texas a few years back, who he just happened to have hired in the offseason as a football analyst.
Analyst, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. It's like, oh, we're waiting in the wings until that F's up.
It's like having Dick Cheney decide who your next vice president should be.
Yeah.
Oh, me.
So, Texas losing and tumbling out of the rankings. That's always fun. Oklahoma survived a little bit of a scare at the hands of West Virginia in a Big 12 muckfest. They win 16-7. Not a very exciting game if you like offense. If you like guys beating the snot out of each other. I think it was pretty fun. But, Northwestern beating yet another BCS conference foe, but it was Syracuse. And last time I checked, Jim Brown doesn't play for them anymore.
It's been a while. It's been a few years.
Or Ernie Davis. So not a lot impressive about beating Syracuse, in all honesty. Wisconsin lumped up on Compass Point Tech or somebody like that.
That Nebraska, sounds like a made-up thing.
Yes. Nebraska pretty much did the same thing, but their defense looked a little better than the week before when they only beat Wyoming by 3 points. Baylor scores 70 against lowly Buffalo. You kind of gotta just feel bad for the old State University of New York at Buffalo. And like we already said, USC losing in
Washington State, man.
Losing to Washington State for the first time since, I think, 03, and the first time at the Coliseum since 01, maybe.
Wow.
Just not pretty. And
then the guy, okay, basically the offense kind of sucked. But the quarterback who looked like he was actually doing something doesn't get the starting job. Because he's named a starter, and he's going back with the guy who
can't
just
be expecting
flat out sucked.
Him to make any sense, can you?
No. Yeah. He's on his way out, man. This is the year of Kiffin. The year of Kiffin leaving SoCal.
Sure seems like it.
Well, you think that
I'm going to light some candles,
he'll
man.
Land another NFL job somehow?
I don't care what he ends up. He could end up at freaking Farmington Heights High for as far as I care, man.
I think
he can coach Pop Warner. You know, he can coach the girls' team that Peter plays against next week.
I like the chances.
I do too.
This week we have a couple of interesting games, including a rematch of one of the most entertaining games of last season. That was Alabama and Texas A&M. Last year, Alabama won their second consecutive national championship, losing only one game, and that was at home against Johnny Manziel-led Texas A&M Aggies.
Johnny Football he's got too much caffeine in him, man.
I think it's more like 5 hour energy and vodka. he has a good time.
He does have a good time.
And I can't fault any 20-year-old.
I don't either, man. It's just every once in a while you go, you know, it's like you watch this guy play and you kind of go, okay, cool. Okay, you didn't have to do that.
No.
Yes, he went too far.
He crosses the line frequently.
Yes, he does.
But Stanford gets to play their second game of the year, and that's against the Black Knights, Army? It doesn't matter. It's Army. Oregon's number two. Ohio
There's a whole
State's
lot of vets
four.
There, right? Just,
they're playing against teams that aren't going to put up much of a fight.
Army has snipers, man. You might be a
I wasn't talking trash on Army. I
think you were.
I don't think they have much of a shot against Stanford.
I would not.
Since you put
so.
It that way.
Call me crazy. I've
well,
been called worse.
It's all in the verbiage.
Uh-huh.
The first time you said, yeah, it's Army. Now this time you say, I don't think they have a chance against Stanford. That might keep you from being in the crosshairs.
They don't have Glenn Davis or Doc Blanchard. So I'm just saying. One other game between ranked opponents this week is UCLA and Nebraska. This is one of our picks for the week.
I did that for you.
Oh, thank you. You know, the principal at the school that I work at is a UCLA grad, and like when they play USC, she'll do like the 8 clap on the morning announcements and stuff like that. She gets into it. It's kind of funny. I tried to get her to agree to some sort of friendly non-monetary wager today. She wasn't taking it. She wasn't biting. I got a lot of hats you could wear if, you know, the team that I pick happens to win. She wasn't going to.
You know why? Because she's a UCLA fan. They got no heart.
I want to think better of her than that, though. So. But UCLA going to Lincoln to play an early game. It's 11 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock for us folks out here on the West Coast. If you have a DVR, set it ahead of time, and extend it beyond the 3-hour recording window that it will give, because this game is not going to be over in 3 hours. There are going to be a lot of points scored in this one on Saturday. Last year in the Rose Bowl back in September, it was 36-30 UCLA final. UCLA had over 600 yards of offense.
That quarterback looks pretty good. That
Brett Hundley, he's a good quarterback. Good. They have a new stable of running backs this year. Jonathan Franklin off to the NFL. And what's Christian? Christian Fourier's son is in the NFL now as well. But they have some horses at their disposal. And it's funny because they didn't play last week, and they moved up a spot in the AP poll.
Sad thing, though, about that.
That was a real bummer, yes. Yeah. UCLA, they had a walk-on redshirt freshman wide receiver.
Out of San Clemente.
Grew up in San Clemente, who was killed in a car accident on early Sunday morning,
he was a pedestrian.
No foul play, I believe, involved. The driver of the vehicle stayed at the scene and waited for.
Yeah, the way I heard it, he was walking through the middle of the street. Was he?
Yeah.
Was he intoxicated?
I didn't hear anything about toxicology reports or anything like that.
The way it was described, it sounded like he was at fault. I mean, and that.
Well,
you never
know.
For sure.
In the case of him being in the middle of the street,
Nick Pasquale. I didn't hear that. I just heard he was walking home. Because he lived pretty close by.
Right, but what I heard was he's walking through the middle of the street when he got hit.
Was he crossing the street?
No, he wasn't crossing. He was walking down the middle of the street is what I first heard. Now, you know how like you hear something and then it was like, no, he was crossing the street. That's why I was asking.
I don't know any more of the details.
Either way, it sucks.
I do want to give props to Jim Mora for his press conference when that stupid-ass reporter was talking during his press conference and he basically told the guy to shut up or leave. And he walked off. And you know what? You know, because he was given basically a statement on the player they lost.
Right, right.
And this guy just said, yeah, I've been in the background and stuff. And did you see this?
No, I didn't. No.
And Mora looks over and he goes, why don't you just shut up? And then the guy said something to him and it's just like, you can go ahead. And he goes, you don't tell me when I can go ahead. And he says, why don't you just leave? Why don't you just get out of here? Why don't you just leave? And they just stood up, and then Moore stood up and walked off. And I was like, good for you, man. You're trying to talk. He's talking about a guy,
somebody who
just died. And you got to be back there in the back room yapping.
There's more important things than football.
Yeah, exactly.
That's, as we've said many times, it's a game. It's sports
entertainment. Yeah. Exactly.
When somebody dies, that's a little bit more important.
Yeah.
I'm took the wind out of myself.
I don't mean to derail you like that. But, we go on tangents quite a bit. Yeah.
UCLA players obviously hurting following the loss of their teammate, Nick Pasquale. They are probably getting on a plane tomorrow evening or maybe Friday morning early to head out to Lincoln. And we got a battle of two ranked teams there. Like I said, that's an early one. It's on at 9 a.m. on ABC for us California folks. Do the math on your time zone if you're somewhere else. And either way, set your DVR because that is too early for a big game like this to be played. Interesting thing, if you normally watch college football and you're just flipping through the channels waiting to find the team wearing red, you're not going to find that on Saturday because Nebraska is going to be wearing black jerseys. For the first time ever, in any time.
Why four?
Well,
a lot of teams are doing that.
Nebraska their apparel provider is Adidas, and the way that like Nike's been doing this deal for the last several years with teams like Oregon, and is slowly rolling it out with other teams. Where
I think UCLA's going to do it this year too.
They'll debut a new uniform when it's two Nike schools playing against each other. It's like. It's all marketing nonsense.
Yeah.
But UCLA is also an Adidas.
They're going to have a black jersey for one of the games this year too.
They probably will.
No, they are. They press conference
today. So UCLA and Nebraska both wearing Adidas stuff. They're going to UCLA is not wearing anything tricky this Saturday, but Nebraska is going to wear their black alternate weird uniforms that we've never seen before. Different than the weird uniforms they wore last year with the big M on the chest. These ones will actually have numbers on the front, but they're in different font and black jerseys. And the helmet's going to be a little different, too, but it'll be a white helmet, not like the weird one they wore last year. So, if you're looking for the Nebraska uniforms that they've worn for the last 60 years, they're not going to be wearing those on Saturday. So, just go to ABC if you want to watch that game come Saturday morning. The rest of the games this weekend, it's still early. A lot of non-conference cupcake games. Check out some foosball this weekend, though. Another beautiful week in sports. Another beautiful week here in the studio. Thank you for letting me yammer on and on and on once again.
Always good. Good time for T-Bone. And
we got to do our picks before you do that.
We do have to do our picks.
We got to talk about how the picks went last week first.
We'll talk about that.
We got it, right?
But before we get to all that, props to the USA national team in soccer who defeated
Mexico. The Americans beat Mexico yesterday.
2-0. And Landon Donovan scored the second goal. Well, the LA Galaxy guy.
He looked old in the post-game interview.
They've had a long summer, clearly. He was dark and wrinkly and sweaty, and his hairline has been like way...
Post-game, he should be sweaty.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, he's got no hairline. I mean, He's a
man among boys.
Not in like the beast.
Pickskin picks. Results from last week. T-Bone took charge in a serious way. We had six games to pick from, and T-Bone won five of those picks. Peter and I are tied with three apiece. And so here we go for this week's picks. Game number one in the college ranks. It is UCLA, number 16. At Nebraska, number 23. And as I set this up here, we will make our picks. T-Bone, I think I know who you're going to pick.
Yeah. I'm going to pick the team in black. But I'll be the one wearing red.
So T-Bone's going with Nebraska. Peter?
I'll go with UCLA.
And, you know, you've never heard this from me ever, but I think I'm going to go with UCLA on this one. Game number two, Alabama, number one. At number six, Johnny Manziel in Texas A&M.
You're up first. Or me. You went first last time.
Go ahead.
I'm going to go with Alabama.
You're going with Alabama. Man,
they got a pretty good track record.
They have a great track record. I guess I would be next on this one, huh? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to go with Johnny Football.
Yeah.
I know it's a risk, but I'm going to go with Texas A&M.
I'm going Bama on this one.
Probably the best choice, guys. But you know me, I like to mix it up. And, you know, I try to throw some stuff in there. It's just kind of odd. So we're going to Virginia Tech at East Carolina.
Is that me now? I'll go with Virginia Tech because I know nothing about either school. So
This is one that in a lot of years past would be a big slam dunk for Virginia Tech. But
it would have been in the past.
Anymore, yes. I don't know. I kind of want to take one that I feel like I'm already reaching a little bit on Nebraska and UCLA. I wasn't going to pick UCLA either way, but, you know. I'm going to go with Virginia Tech on that one.
You're going with VT, too. Yeah. I should go with VT. Common sense tell me goes with VT.
All right.
I'm going with East Carolina.
They wear purple. Virginia Tech wears almost purple, but it's maroon.
With East Carolina. You staying with VT?
Yeah, I'm staying with Virginia. Okay. Purple has no place in sports. None whatsoever.
Really? Tell that to the Vikings.
Next time I'm in Minnesota.
NFL, Detroit at Arizona. I think I'm up first, yeah. And I'm going with Detroit.
Yeah, I'm jumping again. Sorry.
this is one that... These are two, like, top third, but not Super Bowl contender teams here. Sure. I like Arizona to bounce back at home here.
And I'm going to go with Detroit.
Minnesota at Chicago. I think T-Bone's up.
T-Bone's up, yep.
Well, Minnesota's purple. You don't go for purple.
Yeah, that solves it for you.
Chicago has a coach from Canada. Minnesota is like Canada almost, but not quite. I'm going to go ahead and...
Two negatives make a positive.
These NFL picks this week are much, much trickier.
I worked on this one.
These are coin flippers right here. I'm going to go with Chicago.
Dub Bears.
No, wait, you know what? I want the Vikings.
Think of your mind.
I just did.
He's writing in ink over there, man.
Peter.
I'm going to go with Chicago.
Lose the results the last week of the season.
Yeah, that's right. It doesn't matter. Unless he's in first.
Peter's going with Chicago. T-Bone went with Minnesota. The Bears. Yep. I like just saying that, but I don't know if I want to pick it. I think I'm going to go with Minnesota on this one. Pittsburgh at Cincy.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Sure.
Pittsburgh took a beating last week.
I know, and I'm feeling like they're going to rebound, so I'm going with Pittsburgh.
T-Bone.
I'm going Cincinnati.
Cincy, huh?
Yeah.
See, I don't really remember what the hell Cincy did this week. How did Cincy play this week?
They lost to the Bears by three.
Yeah. Lost to the Bears by three. I think Roethlisberger is going to bounce back, so I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. So here's the picks, guys. For the UCLA-Nebraska game, Peter and I have UCLA, you have Nebraska. For the Alabama-Texas A&M game, you two have Bama, I have Texas A&M. For Virginia Tech and East Carolina, you two have Virginia Tech, I have East Carolina. For Detroit and Arizona, Peter and I have Detroit, you have Arizona, Bone. Mm-hmm. For the Minnesota-Chicago game, Peter has Chicago, Bone and I have Minnesota. And for Pittsburgh, Cincy, you have Cincy, and we have Pittsburgh. Sound right?
Sounds
good. Yep, there's going to be some separation this week.
There for sure.
No two ways about that. Absolutely. There you have it, another edition of Not Brewskies. T-Bones! Timeout! We are going to take a quick break here at Swoops World and come back and do the news. This is Cersei, and this is called Cannonball. Back after this.
This is Joe Walsh. I'm speaking on behalf of Red. It's okay to rock and roll, right?
but don't drive home drunk. But if you're drunk, call me up. I have a limo. I'll come and get you.
I'll sleep all day.
Public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
I'm in the car next to you on the highway. I sit in front of you on the bus. I'm one out of every six Americans, and I'm struggling with hunger. This isn't an uncontrollable epidemic. There's enough food in this country to feed every hungry person. Please, visit feedingamerica.org today and find your local food bank. Every dollar you donate helps provide 7 meals for those around you, quietly struggling with hunger. Together, we're Feeding America.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
In the wake of a disaster, what one thing can you send that will help people the most? A blanket. A tent. A sandbag. A doctor. Actually, if you send a monetary donation, you send all these things. Even a small donation can make a big impact and can quickly become exactly what people affected by disaster need most.
Want to help those affected by Hurricane Sandy? To donate, visit sandy.adcouncil.org. That's sandy.adcouncil.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
The views and opinions expressed by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk Story Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hi, this is Barry Rivera. You're listening to Swoop World.
Means it's time for the news, and we always got some crazy news stories. Anybody got anything ready to go?
Yeah. I got this one here. This is from Opposing Views. I'm quite sure what that is exactly, except that it's on the internet, and they're reporting about this Thai Airways blacks out company logo on a downed Airbus. I mean, of course. I mean, should you expect? That's what they're supposed to do, right? A Thai Airways Airbus carrying 302 people suffered a landing gear malfunction on Monday, rolling off a runway at Bangkok's, I'm not going to try to say that, international airport. All 288 passengers and 14 crew members thankfully survived, though 14 people were taken to the hospital with injuries. Shortly after the accident, Thai Airways brass demonstrated that they had their priorities in order. Everybody survived. So now we gotta handle, you know, stuff. Sending a crew armed with black paint basically covered the airline's logos on the tail and fuselage, as displayed in this picture here, as it rested helplessly on the grass. An apparent desperate attempt to protect the airline's image. Interestingly enough, in this picture you have a plane that's broken down.
I'm sure there are hundreds of panicked people inside.
Yeah. But you have this plane that's broken down, kind of off the runway. It's in T-Bone's favorite color, purple. What I find really interesting is that in the background, you have one of these Thai Airways successfully taking off. So it works. They don't want to send out that bad image.
Here's the crazy thing about it, right? It's not like it's a white plane with one little logo on it.
Yeah.
No.
It's like trying to paint out the logo on a Southwest plane.
Yeah, as I'm saying, it's purple.
It's purple.
Now, I've never, in all of my life, and I've done a fair amount of traveling, I've never been on a plane that was purple. I'm pretty sure that if I'd been on a purple plane, I would know what airline that was. So I think this whole effort was kind of ridiculous and now makes them look bad. Or worse, I should say, because when your plane breaks down, that always
fool,
looks bad.
It's some fool in the tower going, hey, guys, we need to cover up that logo.
Just over 2 weeks ago, another Thai Airways plane was rocked by severe turbulence as it moved in for landing in Hong Kong. In that incident, 20 passengers were hurt. So these guys, they pretty much have 100% record. It's going to be a little bouncy. It's going to be a little bumpy. But you're all going to survive.
They just suck it, damn it. This was pure PR.
PR, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. The worst possible advice
I think they need to,
they could
you need to go with a different company, man. Yeah. This is one I loved. I just flat out loved. Rapist Richard Thomas collapses after discovering his victim had HIV/AIDS virus. You know what?
That's a question you should ask before you rape somebody.
Yeah, you're out there
raping people. Do a little homework.
And you have the nerve to collapse. A rapist faces a nerve-wracking wait to find out if he caught the deadly HIV/AIDS virus from his victim. Richard Thomas, 27, collapsed and had to be admitted to the hospital when Manchester police told him about the victim's condition after the attack in July. Thomas broke into a house of a woman whom he knew and forced himself on her while she was asleep. The victim, who lives in Lee, Manchester, had taken a sleeping pill shortly before the attack. She woke up finding him raping her. Thomas knew the woman had a medical condition, but was ignorant of the underlying cause.
Ignorant is the operative word there.
Well, that's the majority of the story.
Yeah.
Here's a guy who's got the nerve to be, I don't know, appalled, offended, surprised, you know. I like how they write this. He faces the nerve-wracking wait.
Nerve-wracking.
You're a rapist.
Yeah.
Here's what's hoping, is that this guy gets convicted, gets thrown in prison, and then gets AIDS if he doesn't already have
if
it.
If he doesn't already have
you
it.
You know what I mean?
He's sure to
just saying
be a big candidate for it once he's...
Yes, here's hoping, you know?
You know, think about criminals. They have their what do you call the hierarchy.
Yeah.
And rapists are kind of low on the totem pole, even in prison.
That's what I've heard. Not a lot of sympathy. The only
people lower than rapists are child rapists.
Yeah. Yes. Short Eyes. Those guys. Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever see that movie called Short Eyes?
No.
It's depressing, but it's a good movie.
I'm not watching that.
It's a depressingly good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
As we would say, it's well written.
Yeah.
It's done.
It's a well-made movie.
It's
not like a style. Not my favorite style.
T-Bone, you got one?
Yeah, you know, it wouldn't be a night here in studio without a Florida story. And because it's football season, we're going to have a chicken wing story to go along.
That's a classic.
Ladies and gentlemen, meet Patrick Arthur. The Florida man, age 51, was arrested last night for battering his wife with a bowl of chicken wings, police report. Cops were summoned to the Micah City home Arthur shares with his wife, Darlene. The couple, who had been married 3 years, had been fighting, according to Darlene's daughter. After a Manatee County Sheriff's Office deputy arrived at the Wingate Road residence, Patrick, who appeared to be enjoying a glass of wine, explained that he was, quote, tired of the marriage and all the fighting, so he tried to leave, only to be stopped by Darlene, end quote. Now, I mean, you ever been in that situation where you could just throw the woman on the ground, but you choose not to because you don't want to go to jail?
Yeah. No, I've not been there, but I know what you're saying.
This guy this guy opted not to throw her to the ground, but still ended up going to jail because when Darlene, quote, wouldn't leave him alone, unquote, Patrick got mad and threw a bowl of chicken wings at her, an investigator noted. While the wings struck her in the
upper from Hooters?
You know, they don't say the source of the wings. I'm just hoping that they made them themselves because it's easy enough.
It is easy.
But while the wings struck her in the upper body, Darlene told the cops that she did not want to press charges and have her spouse jailed. Despite that request, Mr. Patrick was arrested for misdemeanor battery and booked into the county lockup, where bond had, as of publication time, yet to be set. Really?
It's a flight risk, obviously.
Chickens are flightless, no matter how many wings they have.
Short flights, but flights nonetheless.
Well, after that short flight crashes, we can just paint over the logo. He's scheduled for an October 10th court appearance.
Now, what they don't tell you is, Florida, did he throw the wings at her or the bowls?
That's a big difference.
No,
I ate the bones! I ate the bones!
You know, the bowl could be like a big, heavy ceramic bowl.
Well, it could
that could hurt, right?
Because I've seen like a whole plate of spaghetti go flying across the room, and the plate never wavered once.
Never spun, nothing. Just spaghetti on the wall, and then the plate still managed to smash.
Yeah.
I was like, wow, that's impressive, you know?
Yeah.
Some interesting events you attend.
Life, man. That's a good time. A lot of ins, a lot of outs, a lot of what have yous. But this is just... Florida is just the state that keeps on giving.
It is the state that keeps on giving.
And the top 10 comments on the story, it's like everybody just gave their best shot at a FARC headline. I mean, it's pretty entertaining.
And so. FARC has the best headlines. Well, we want to thank Tom O'Keefe for stopping by and jumping in here at Studio A tonight and giving us his words of wisdom when it comes to health and nutrition. Next week on Swoops World Late Night is a band of enablers will be in studio. No prime time
wait,
tomorrow.
Wait, no, you just said a band of enablers.
The band of enablers.
Because okay, that's two different things.
Yes. You are correct, sir. No prime time tomorrow. Prime time next week. Our guest will be author Robin Marvel. But next week on Swoops World Late Night right here at 8 p.m. Pacific time, and that's 11 p.m. on the East Coast, Band of Enablers will be with us. And they've been here before. It's been a long time since we've had them in studio, so look forward to having them again. I want to thank everybody for tuning in, those of you tuned in on the Swoops World app, those of you who join us in the chat room, as well as those who tuned in on TalkStream Live. And if you enjoy our show, please tell a friend, because that's the only advertisement we have. So, any last words of wisdom, guys?
Nope.
You all right, man?
Chicken wings are free.
You're dying over there, man.
Once again, yeah.
Choking on a bone?
The views and opinions expressed all. By the individual hosts and the guests do not necessarily reflect those of Talk
Thanks, Dave, Stacy, Amma, and everybody else. T-Oxy.